right, here we go. What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I gotta get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch some TV. I see what Hulu has to offer me. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options than I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely. Forget completely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life's a Binge. I am Jared.
I'm BJ.
And I'm Rich.
And we want to thank everyone out there for listening to our show.
Thanks.
You guys are awesome possums. And, yeah, following us on all social media. You can find us at Life's a Binge across all social media platforms. That's Instagram and YouTube, Twitter, Facebook.com/Life's a Binge. The email, if you want to say something to us, is Life's a Binge@gmail.com. And the voicemail number is 619-438-0532. And you can call us.
I know it.
If you want. I think it was you. You posted like a, hey, if you want to say something or whatever. And then right. You posted it on Facebook and it was the wrong number.
Recently?
Yeah.
Recently?
I fixed it, but it was. I even called you out in the chat.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, not this very last one.
I don't remember.
Not for Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember. But anyway,
yeah,
it was funny.
You're right.
So I fixed it. 619-438-0532. And, of course, a big shout out to all the patrons out there. Patreon.com/Life's a Binge. You can become a producer of the show like Mr. Moneybags, because now he's number one again.
Mr. Moneybags? And is that the new...
And
Todd LaRoe.
Producers like
Looks
Todd.
Like we had an old-fashioned bit of one on.
Yes.
So Todd LaRoe.
And Todd. Yeah.
No, okay, but
Mr. Moneybags.
Todd's the second one.
Yes.
Mr. Moneybags is number one.
Yeah, he's number one again.
That's funny.
And
Jess.
Yeah, Jess is there.
Jess, one name.
And,
one time.
And my mom, Kathy. And the other patrons, Mikey and BJ and David. You guys are awesome. And the honorary bingers out there as well. Patreon.com/Life's a Binge. Become a subscriber of our show.
Yeah, join in on the fun.
Do it.
But with all that being said, this is going to be a lengthy conversation. So let's get right into it. Take a big breath with us.
Life's a binge.
Right?
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
Sounds like you're...
I am exhausted.
You, from everything?
Everything.
You look it.
Physically.
No offense.
And emotionally.
But you look it.
I feel it. Sure.
It's hard to hear, boy, you look tired. Fuck.
No, I know I do.
Yeah.
I had another shoot this afternoon, too. I was like, leave me alone.
Man, oh,
I'm tired of it. I'm talented. I know I got all the skills.
I didn't say that.
I'm being your...
True as it may be.
Yeah.
Well, and what's funny is that, so... the main thing I want to talk about is we auditioned for a game show.
We did.
What? Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that was fun.
And
was
cool. You were exhausted then.
I was.
And you rose to the occasion.
You had a long day shoot, and then with a
directly
fast,
before it
with a fast like, hey, can we have all these prints by midnight tonight? Yeah. And then you had to do that again, and then you had to do that again.
Yeah, I did it twice.
So
three times.
So after we did our audition, you had to go back and do stuff.
After we finished the audition, I went home and I worked until incredibly late at night.
Aw, dude.
Yeah.
Super late.
He's a trooper.
Yeah, he's a hard worker.
He's a trooper.
But I got him, and they're super happy with it. Like, they were blown away. The attendees were all really happy with it.
You should try sucking more. And then
not be as good.
Yeah, don't be good.
And
don't be good.
I think he likes the paycheck.
No, the paycheck was sweet.
Right on. That's cool.
So sweet.
But amidst all of that hard work... You were able to come down and represent Life's a Binge and audition to the game show America fun. Says.
America Says. It's like,
Family Feud on crack.
I would say on crack. I would say it's Family Feud light plus extra.
Yes.
Yeah. It's
like,
definitely.
It's like Corona and Corona Extra.
It would be like if, a little bit if Family Feud had flavor. A lightning round. Yeah. Let's check out the lightning round.
Yeah. It's definitely heavily influenced by Family Feud.
Yeah.
For sure.
Totally.
So...
surveyed cool. Americans, top seven answers on the board. Only they give you the first letter, and yeah, anyway,
the first letter throws me off. Like in a lot of times, because you're like you're thinking about that letter instead of like what the topic is.
Because it makes your thinking more rigid. Because you're focusing on the letters.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Instead of just freely thinking.
Yeah, instead of just like when I think about New York, like what was
that
about?
That one, it was things that you give up when you're like on a diet. And like the last one that we didn't get was red meat. Like we probably could have got there.
Right.
Like RM. What the fuck is RM?
Yeah,
like,
room monitor.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, oh, red meat.
It's, and it's so funny too because your brain just goes to mush.
Well, and also your response was like, none of us would ever give up red meat. Yeah. So we never would have got that one.
That's stupid. Yeah,
the guy behind the computer enjoyed that one.
Well, and it's.
Enjoyed the jokes.
That same one, things you give up on a diet. Like the number one answer was two words, F, and I was like, French fries. Duh.
Right.
And Tony guessed French fries first. French fries, wrong. And I was like, the only thing I had in my head for F was French fries. I picked something else.
You said fast food.
Did you get something else?
Or maybe I said, no, I said fast food and it was wrong. And then you said fried food and it was right.
Yeah.
But it was like,
and then you like decimated the rest of that.
Yeah,
category.
Yeah. I was like, I've been on diets recently. Sugar, carbs. I knew it was carbs.
Carbs
sugar.
Was the number one.
Yeah, I knew that was. I knew that was like right there.
Yeah.
So, but then the last few. But we killed that round.
But it was a very fun audition process. It only took about an hour too, which was impressive.
Nice. Like, in and out. I thought it was going to be all night.
Yeah.
So when we were done and out of there, I was like, nice.
And I was like, thank God.
Yeah, I bet. And me too. I wasn't as tired as you were, but I was like, oh.
Also, so like Game Show Network isn't cheap by any stretch of the means, but like it so blows my mind that you can get quality stuff that you need with a little handy cam and a laptop, and that's what they had at the thing.
So, yeah, I mean that's
and it's not like it's you know gold, but like that thing's filming us in HD, and like it's pumping itself to the laptop, and like boom, there you go, there's your audition.
The quality's like, at least better than like a Mexican soap opera.
It's true though, it's crazy.
Pretty good.
But anyway,
offense to Mexico or your soap operas, I find them lovely, actually.
I inevitably was kind of like comparing the whole experience to
Wheel.
To the Wheel experience.
Mm.
And
is the Wheel experience flashier?
My audition at Wheel was like a traveling Wheel of Fortune show that went to the casino.
The Wheel Mobile.
So there was like an actual wheel and all.
It was a booty wheel. No.
Spin the cardboard wheel.
It was square, actually.
It was like a dime store, like Pat and Vanna, you know. But I was thinking like the whole time, like, this is a pretty good gig.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
For that guy.
Yeah. But anyway, I was thinking about that for the people here. Like, they just get to come and like talk to people and play this fun little game with them. And,
yeah.
Like,
it was cool. That was one of the things was like the folks like them for Wheel of Fortune were very cool. And then when it was all over, it was like camp was over, kind of like.
Maybe I want to hang out with the counselors.
Yeah, they're like, am I going to see you again?
Goodbye forever.
Probably not, but.
Yeah.
But it was cool. It was cool, and I hope we get on. That would be fun.
Even just for fun.
Yeah.
Right. So
exactly.
It was cool.
I think we're at least get gas money or something.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah.
$1 million.
I don't know what the high.
I think the grand prize is $25,000, but split between like four people
or five.
If there's a, because on the show there's only ever four.
There is four.
I swear. But the I'm fifth sure is that, an alternate.
I'm guessing but, it is. Yeah.
You know, we'll kick down some scratch for them too.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe you didn't guess any answers. Alternate,
you're all like Petner.
But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
What else? We just today. So the last Sunday of every month, basically, Samantha and I host whoever wants to come over, like family and friends or whatever.
Right,
just, like hang out, chit chat, play games, or just like my mom can see the grandkids or whatever. You know, all that stuff. Just come over and everyone will be.
I
here.
Thought you were gonna say Grand Canyon. I don't know. It must be
in the best. Yeah. And so we did that just today. So
that's cool.
Cool.
And then you got to meet my brother and sister-in-law.
I can't believe I never met your brother before.
That's my second brother. I have another brother I'm sure you've maybe met before, maybe.
What's his name?
Jacob.
Which one of them do you like better?
Jacob, Josh, and Jared.
And your sister's
How
name is?
Dare you. My sister's name is Katie.
Katie. And that's your only one girl.
Correct.
So I met Katie.
Yes.
And her husband.
Yes. And my mom and sister were at SeaWorld, and they saw you at the show, the dolphin show, and they were trying to flag you down. But
today?
No, it was a couple days ago, probably.
Huh.
But anyway, we did that today, and it was a lot of fun. And I believe that they listened to the show, so thanks, family, for coming over.
Thank you.
Now, that was the first one.
One drop, family.
Second one.
The second one, okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun today, too. So that's what's up with me. Anybody else do anything fun other than the audition?
The audition
and
was
work your ass off?
Work my face off.
Yeah. Because I didn't want to say that I did that, too, but I did that, too.
I'm sure you did
six
that.
6 days in a row.
You always do that.
Yeah. Work a lot.
Today is my only day off, and then I work 6 days in a row again next week.
This month has been working like crazy for me.
But that's not fun to talk about.
Yeah.
Today I donated my time to an organization that I love very much. It's called Face for Pets. And you find them at face4pets.org. And what they
number
do,
four or F-O-R?
Yeah, face number four yeah. pets.org. And what they do is really cool. They provide financial assistance for when people need emergency surgery for their pets.
Because they believe
that a pet's life should not be a financial decision, so they help people out in that area. Which I'm like, I'm all over that.
That's dope.
So I've been volunteering. That's dope. I've been volunteering for them for the past 5 years, and I was actually the volunteer of the month last month.
Nice.
Which is really funny. Like
somebody take my picture. Wait, that's my job.
Not to put them on. Not to like put them on blast, but it's kind of send me random emails like, hey, you're volunteer of the month. I'm like, I didn't do anything this month, but all right, cool. They're like, do you want to like write anything or like send us photos? Like, I got a photo for you. So I sent them the photo of me with like all the pets.
All the
and they put that.
In Word.
There you go.
And it was really funny.
That's dope.
Yeah, that's perfect.
But so I was at this house up in Rancho Santa Fe, and it's just like, it's exactly what you would imagine. Like, it's a mansion of a house.
Yeah,
like
McMansion.
Like, it looked like everything was personally
it's
very,
not a McDonald's
very
mansion.
Deliberately.
It's a real mansion.
Very, very deliberately designed.
Oh, nice.
And I was talking to, because they had like six photographers there, so I kind of left early when I didn't feel bad. And I was talking to one of the guys, and he was talking about the house and how it's a great party house, which obviously, because they host events there all the time. But I was like, yeah, but like, what would living in that house be like day to day? Like this giant, insanely big, like huge outdoor spaces and like lots of space, but like, it's almost like living in the Red Keep almost.
Right.
That, they have the same kind of courtyard, and it leads from room to room. I'm like how I don't even know how to like conduct myself in a place like this.
The only way
when I like
have
to
go fool.
To the, when I have to go to the bathroom yeah. or like get a grilled cheese or something, you know?
Like you have to have other people there.
You have staff.
You have to, or like entourage.
Yeah.
Like where it's like no one needs a house
your,
this big, but
all your boys
everyone
kind of
hangs
lives.
And lives yeah. there and or whatever.
Actually, that'd be really cool.
Cuz like that's the only way it would work. It's like that, it's like I'm going to go to watch a movie in my movie theater. Mm-hmm. By myself. Let me take my 15-minute walk to get over there by myself through my courtyard, which is all well and good, but it's got to be lonely as hell.
I would say
it's when you invite young kids to come and stay there.
Make friends
with
your staff.
Maybe for weeks at a time.
How dare you?
How dare you?
Where are you?
How dare you?
I found it.
No, I would have like 16 dogs. That's
right?
And that's a conservative estimate. It would probably be more than that.
They'd all have like their own rooms.
So, I say that, but this lady does actually have like a grip of dogs. I think they have like maybe seven, so not too many. But there are dog beds and water bowls just strategically
everywhere.
Placed all throughout the place, which I'm like, all right, I'm kind of jealous. That's rad. That would be really cool.
There's like a what like the old school bank tube system. It's just dog food.
Dog
the
food
dog can just hit the button and like just drops the dog food out.
That's a good. That's an idea I'll keep in my back pocket for the future.
That's right.
When I make my
yeah, exactly.
That's right. That's right. Did you do anything fun or just work?
Well, you know, work is fun.
Must be nice.
It is nice.
Is your work ever
it is
fun?
It is nice. Least I forget that. Sure lest I forget that.
Yes.
It at this point it still is fun. But yeah, so that's about it. Work, work, and then that game show tryout was fun.
Which was a lot of fun. And not to underplay it or anything, but because of the game show, I feel like I need to hit this button.
Tony in the Mesa.
Because he kind of put the whole thing together.
Yeah.
Nicely done, Tony.
So we should shout out to him, as much as I hate to do that.
Thanks. Thank you.
And thanks for the
Tony.
Ride, I guess.
Well, and what's weird about the whole thing is that I got a phone call from America Says like 2 weeks ago, like saying, hey, do you still want to audition? And da 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 da. And I was like, yeah, but I'm on a team with my buddy. Oh, what's his name? Tony? Oh, okay. Well, yeah, well, do you still want to have a team too? And I was like, no. I don't even know how you got my phone number.
How did they?
I don't know.
Did you like send it in?
I did not. The only way that I've contacted that company is through Tony. But they called me, which was weird as heck.
Spooky.
Did Tony give
no,
me your phone number?
I don't understand how it worked
either. Are you sure you didn't like send in something
not
some
ever.
Like for some other show?
Nope.
Do you sleepwalk?
Nope. No. Not ever. Anyway, so I just thought it was weird. But just, you know, I could have had my own team, Tony. I'm just all I'm saying. That's the main point of that.
You would have called it Team Tony?
Right.
They said when we were leaving that you could just come back with another team. We're like,
well, that's what they, really? Yeah, they're like, we need more people to audition to come in,
how
which is like,
work?
Maybe we're in if you still want people
maybe.
Desperately. Maybe it's just show up and you're in.
So yeah, right.
I mean, I don't know how you hear about
we
it.
We were also the only team wearing, you know, matching outfits like they asked for in the pamphlet. So,
but I didn't dig.
What?
Okay, just lie. Just say.
Oh, right. Yeah, it was bizarre.
Like, I don't really want to.
What's
do
your
that.
Job? Not anything entertainment. You're like, but I'm an entertainer.
Well, just say you're.
Yeah, it's funny. Anyway, but it was a lot of fun. So, thanks again.
Tony in the Mesa.
You rock. Yeah.
Yep.
But
just trying to think. Anyone trying to think of something to say there at the end of that one to like. Game show.
Thank you.
That's what's up.
Who is Tony?
It sounds like. That sounds like.
With Ridge.
Oh, it's me. Yeah. Uh-oh.
Not really. It doesn't have to be. I don't even know if there is any news.
There's some news.
I haven't paid attention to Jack Squat.
I've been
Squat.
Paying attention to things.
Excellent.
Mostly Jack some Squat. Things that are not Avengers and Game of Thrones are related,
that's
but the
I
news I do
about.
Have is
right now.
Game of Thrones and Avengers related.
Nice.
The tidbit of news that I found really interesting, which I didn't know, is that Maisie Williams, who plays Arya Stark, as we all know, A long time ago, decided that she was going to play Arya left-handed because Arya is left-handed in the books.
Yes.
Maisie is not left-handed.
Nice.
Much to her regret, like, people paid attention. So it's like now she had to learn how to do everything
left-handed. That's insane.
Wow.
That's a lot of left-handed stuff.
Yeah.
She's very good at sword fighting with
and we'll left-handed. We'll bring this conversation back later on when we talk more about the episode of Game of Thrones.
Absolutely.
Because that comes directly into play.
It really does in a very cool way.
Yeah.
Cool.
But on top of that, Avengers Endgame is already number 18 on the largest box office list.
Yes. $1.2 billion as of this today.
So biggest opening ever of any movie?
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
The last one was like 600-something thousand.
Yeah.
Million?
600 million, yeah. This is $1.2
billion.
and that was this morning when I saw that headline.
That is
before the end of Sunday.
And Mikey stupid. P hasn't even seen it yet.
Right.
So
that is stupid.
It's insanity, dude. It's so crazy. I mean, it's worth it.
The budget
to me,
and the budget was $350 million.
Yeah.
So they've already remade the budget.
Yeah.
Three times over.
Done.
Everybody.
In the first weekend.
All the producers got their checks already.
$1 billion.
Here you go.
Lindsay was saying it'll pass Avatar, and I was like, I don't know if that's possible.
It's probably going to
it'll get close.
I bet it'll pass it.
We'll see.
It's 18 on 4 days.
We'll see.
4 days. But then again,
what's
it's
Avatar?
Different now.
Total.
Also, Captain Marvel's on that list, too.
Is it?
Yeah, it's number 24.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's insane to me. But it's... I don't feel like it's going to grow much more. It'll grow a little bit more, but I don't think it's going to go that much more because
Avatar's total box office was 2 billion, yeah. 2.7.
2 billion, billion something 2.7 there. Billion.
But it's like it's everyone's already seen it. And now if you don't see a movie in opening weekend, maybe you'll see it later, maybe. But those numbers are it's peaked and it's now going to start to fall.
I got messages from people, and then it's going to crash and burn
hard.
Like, I still have to go see Captain Marvel. I'm like, what are we even doing with your life?
Right.
Like, get on it.
I think a lot of folks are going to
see it
twice.
It
yeah, like yeah. In the theater.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely. I only saw Avatar once in the theater.
I saw Avatar three times.
Oh, really?
Well, I saw it twice.
I saw it standard. I saw it twice. Def, I saw it. IMAX, and then I saw IMAX 3D.
No, I watched it in IMAX 3D twice. Yes.
Yeah.
So well, there's just no other way to watch this movie.
Yep. Like, it was so good.
That's cool.
Yeah, dude. $1.2 billion is a crazy high number for 3 days, really, because it came out. And they were saying Friday. So from Friday and Saturday basically are the 2 days that they count, even though Thursday is involved.
Yeah.
But basically Friday and Saturday was $1.2 billion worldwide, not domestic, but still. It's insane.
Also, MoviePass is still existing.
Really?
But they have lost 90% of their subscribers.
I didn't even know they were still around.
Are they trying
to? I did think about getting that AMC stub list, though.
Oh.
Because that AMC La Jolla, where I saw that film, woo-wee, they have power recliners.
Really?
And yeah. Assigned seating.
Assigned seating.
Yeah. And, like, it was
so dope. We didn't go there, but one of my friends who lives closer to here actually went to Grossmont because they also now have a theater that has a science
theater. Oh yeah,
apparently it's really nice.
Grossmont Center.
Yeah,
yeah. No, that's where I went to see Captain Marvel, and every single ticket, even the big fancy pants theater, they call it like four, you know, whatever it's called, 4X or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, it's $8.50 for any seat assigned.
That's rad.
And you can buy like a refillable popcorn tub.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, Grossmont. No one goes to the movies anymore.
Yeah.
And when MoviePass happened, everyone's like, yay, they're coming back. And then MoviePass failed and they're like, oh no, what do we do?
Yeah.
So everyone's like adjusting and assigning your seats because there's no way Avengers would have made $1.2 billion if you had to wait in like a 7.5 hour long line like you had to do for like the other midnight releases and stuff.
Right.
Sure. If you had to show up at like 6 a.m. and sit down and wait 12 hours to watch the movie,
nobody wants to do that anymore. Nobody wants to do that anymore.
Well, yeah. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to even get there that early. But luckily, it worked out for me.
Yeah,
I didn't have to sit in the front.
When you saw it at 6 o'clock.
I saw it at 6. Is that the first showing?
It's
the very first. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, yeah, it was good.
Were you in the front row?
No.
Good seat?
Good seat. Good seat.
Dude, we were right in the middle. Smack dab. Thank you, Biz, for going to the NFL draft.
Right on.
I'm glad I got those tickets.
That was a 3D or no?
Nope. Just regular. I do want to see it in IMAX 3D, though, because I am feeling it.
I want to see it like Fernando J. Huerta said in 4D.
Oh, with the smell thing, shooting them in the water.
Shaking
seats
and everything.
I'm not about that.
Like, I don't know.
I want to try it.
I don't know. Why would they do that?
What did I see?
Did it at Hazard Center?
Not yeah, Hazard smell. Center. Hazard well, Center does that.
They have the moving one, but they don't deal with the smell. Like, his had smells and like water
and mist and stuff. Yeah. He said maybe smells. No, because he couldn't.
He had a cold, so he couldn't smell if there was.
If there was something. Right. So maybe there's smells.
Yeah. But it misted him with water when they were like flying over. Yeah. It's like,
but smell-o-vision, that's like an old thing. I have not done
that, but I'm going to go ahead and say it's dumb. Like, that's stupid.
Yeah, I'll take the.
Did you ever watch the 4D ones at SeaWorld?
I did the ones at SeaWorld and I did the ones at the zoo. And
they're kind of fun. I mean,
it's kitschy. Like,
yeah, it is. It is.
I don't want to watch a movie that way. Like, if I'm watching like a super
epic movie.
Yeah, if I'm watching some kind of short of some kind, like, yeah, the Ice Age short is perfect.
Or Bug's Life. Oh, no. Yeah. Look, the bugs got away. And then you feel like a little on your butt. You're like, oh, God, a spider.
Right.
Yeah, if the updated Star Tours had that shit, I'd be like, yeah, that's
what it's for.
This is for that.
It's theme park. It's not for 3 hour long epic.
Well, they had those moving seats at Hazard Center.
Yeah,
I still have not done them.
And I've done it. I can't remember what I watched. It's fine. It's nothing to scream about. That's kind of whatever.
Nice.
Because I assume the 4D is just that combined with some other stuff. So
probably, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's all the news, right?
That's it.
Yeah. Not really much to talk about. But let's get into the meat and potatoes of it. We don't have any voicemails. We do have a special voicemail thing coming up for you midweek because we did have people call in. But you'll find more out about that on Thursday. So tune in on Thursday.
Woot.
For the Phone Army segment, because it's pretty nifty.
It's special.
Yeah, it's a special little thing that we had done by two special epic people, not named Tony. anyway.
Listeners who are newer, like, he's in love with Tony.
Right. I know. And because of the conversation that we're about to have, Maddie did not want to impede on that as well. So we are skipping the movie review for this week as well. Because we're about to dive head first into some meaty stuff.
Yep.
So let's take a quick break and we will be right back. After these messages, we'll be right back.
God, seems like 1,000 years ago. I fought my way out of that cave, became Iron Man. Realized I loved you. I know I said no more surprises, but I was really hoping to pull off one last one.
The world has changed. None of us can go back. All we can do is our best. And sometimes the best that we can do is to start over. over.
I saw all these people die. I keep telling everybody they should move on. Some do, but not us.
Even if there's a small chance, we owe this to everyone who's not in this room to try.
We will. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. I like this one.
Back to the show.
So what you watching?
What you watching?
I will mention what exactly.
It's the Game of Thrones theme song.
Oh my god.
Are we talking about Game of Thrones?
We are.
Yeah. Yes.
So we need the Game of Thrones theme song in there, right? Isn't
that's what that is?
Isn't that what we?
I was going to add. I did watch something else since the last time you saw me.
Oh, what's up?
I saw Shazam.
Oh, nice. Was it good?
It's really good.
Yes.
Right on. I'm looking forward to that.
Fun. I'm looking forward to that.
We'll talk more about it after you guys see it.
Excellent. Super good. Good times.
And now for the main event.
Yes. Oh man, I wanted it to go twice, but instead it stopped. Yeah. Spoiler alert, a lot.
This is co-main event.
But, I mean, by the title of this episode, End Game of Thrones is what we're calling this episode.
Yeah.
We're talking about two major, major spoilerific things.
Yeah. If you have not watched Avengers Endgame or Game of Thrones,
1.3 billion. Go see it now and then come listen to the show.
So this literally, potentially and maybe quite literally, the biggest weekend in TV and movie history.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
I would imagine that a lot of people tuned into Game of Thrones that even if they haven't kept up with it, which I wouldn't know why, but maybe because of they know that this is the Battle of Winterfell or whatever, they probably tuned in to check out what's going on again. So it probably is the most highest rated or highest viewed episode of this show ever. And again, $1.2 billion for the movie.
These are both things that have an audience broader than their genres.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, and not only that, but
Marvel movies have broken down. Like only nerds like comic books.
Right,
blah, blah. Like everyone has seen these movies.
Yep.
Not everyone, literally, but so many different kinds of people go to watch these. And Game of Thrones, much in the same way, has made maybe not high fantasy. We'll call it medium fantasy, accessible to everyone.
Well, and it's also been going on. When did Game of Thrones start?
Nine years ago.
Because this is season 8, and we had to wait a year and a half between.
Yeah.
So it's either almost 10
wasn't
years.
There, yeah, I was going to say, maybe, because there wasn't there another season.
Downtime. So it's probably close to 10 years, which is basically the same amount of time that we've been watching the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
So it's like, all these people have been waiting around for 10 years to see these finales of these two things.
Culmination.
And Game of Thrones isn't over yet. There's still, three more episodes left?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's darn near to the end, so everyone's on it.
It's the final season for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this is definitely a big turning point, big climactic moment of this in this episode.
Yes.
For sure.
So we're going to start chit-chatting about Game of Thrones. So if you're not caught up, go get caught up for the next two and a half years.
Yeah.
And then tune back in, I don't know, 15, 20, 30 minutes. If we say Jon Snow or something, just stop listening and hit that 30-second button again until we start talking about Endgame. But it's also crazy to me that when we start talking about Endgame, we're probably going to be one of the first first podcast with our review on the air.
For Endgame?
Because we come out on Monday. I'm just saying. A lot of reviews and shows and stuff that I listen to either come out on Thursday or Friday. So we're ahead of the curve. Suck us.
Boom.
But anyway, end Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones, Season 8, Episode 4?
Episode 3.
This is three.
Episode 3, Battle of Winterfell.
Battle of Winterfell.
It wasn't called that.
That's what it's called.
Did you notice that they didn't give it a name?
It was called The Long Night.
Oh, is that what it was called?
I didn't see when we were looking at it.
It said Game of Thrones episode 70 is what it said on my HBO.
I think the official title is The Long Night.
Okay. Yeah.
The Long Night makes sense.
How did you feel about this episode?
I liked it.
BJ?
I didn't like it.
But I also really liked...
You didn't?
It's not like I didn't like it, but there was a lot that I didn't like about it.
What didn't you like about it?
My reaction, literally, and I told you this right when it was over. I was like, you know my reaction to that episode? You're like, what? And I went, meh.
Yeah.
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 It was super hype, and not much happened.
Not much happened.
And then the thing happened. And then the stuff that... At the very, very end. Yeah. But the stuff that was happening in the middle... I couldn't see half of it. Like, it was just very
that was annoying. Dark. Yeah, that was annoying. That's like one of my pet peeves is,
and
like,
I have a good TV, and then like it.
I didn't have that problem.
It just seemed like,
I mean, it's purposely
John,
like,
and Danny are flying on dragons through the fog, and you can't really see anything. And then like there's a blast of fire, and you're like, what dragon just blew fire? And then and then it's like back on the ground, and it's like flames in the background with like silhouettes and dirt flying everywhere. You're like, is that Brienne of Tarth? Did she just get stabbed? What's happening? Like, it just felt like there was a lot of what's happening. Who is that? Like. I don't know.
There was a lot of that. There was a lot of
a
that.
A lot of that.
So that bugged me about it. Like, I was like, especially like contrasting it to last episode.
Yes.
And I should say,
last episode was like very intimate and character driven.
Yes. Yes. And I should also just say, like, in general, for these episodes, and for most things, it's like the big battle scenes to me, I'm like, meh. You know, I'm not as into them. I'm just not as into them. I enjoy like the gamesmanship of close
quarters or one on one.
Yeah, and the characters, you know, flipping each other, the viper and the mountain, you know, that whole thing, you know, because there was so much at stake, and just this huge battle to me just isn't as appealing. And then combine that with all of the darkness. the darkness was weird, and the lack of vision.
It was bizarre. And then they're like down in the crypts, and it's just very, it was dark. I mean, it's all happening at night, so that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
But then the Night King is sending in this like winter cold front, so there's fog everywhere on top of that. It was just very difficult to see things that were happening. And plus, there's like five lines of dialogue in the whole episode, which isn't a big deal, but it's like the freaking composer was like, here's your swan song, bro. Like, get out there and just compose the shit out of this hour and a half long episode, which was beautiful.
Yeah.
But
that's so funny you mentioned that, because during like the part where Jon Snow is running and the dragon is kind of protecting it and blowing the blue flame.
Yeah.
That scene looked really cool. But I remember thinking, like, the music at that time was like, I don't know if I'm down with this tune. Like,
I thought he was gonna have to run out there and kill that dragon, and I was just
that's what I thought was gonna happen too.
Reach completion, because that would have been the most amazing thing that's happened in the show.
I need a hug.
Is he fireproof?
See,
I mean, we don't know. But because Viserys, way back in season one, I mean, maybe he's not fire. Could you pour molten gold on Dany's head and she'd be fine?
That was what she implied.
Wait a minute. No.
You know what I mean?
But wait, that was
she can't burn, but like molten gold's a different story. You know what I mean?
Because her brother's a Targaryen.
Yeah.
And but he dies from the molten gold.
That's what I'm saying. He's a little bitch. He's not a dragon.
But that's what I'm saying. So like, can John burn?
We don't know.
Because I thought for sure a couple of times when he was in the field with Danny and like the Night King was there and the dragon blew fire, I thought she was going to have the dragon blow fire and he was going to run through it and be like, I can't burn, motherfucker.
I thought they were going to bring that into play, but that did not happen.
And then when he's fighting the dead dragon, I thought he was going to get charred and then not die either, but it didn't happen.
Oh, that was so cool.
So, but clearly the Night King...
Targaryen, because he got burnt and didn't didn't affect him.
But none. So I wonder if they're gonna if they're gonna address that,
or that's just his magic. I mean, because he's always been fireproof when everybody else wasn't.
But he flies a dragon too. So I mean,
that moment was awesome. Like she's like up there. I'm like, blind him up, girl. What are you waiting for? Right. And she does it. And so standing there, I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah. And he's like, bitch,
that's not good.
He's just smiling. And that, yeah. And then like his inevitability.
So smug.
Yeah, like, and I was just like, well, somebody please kill this motherfucker. And then and it was 90 minutes of kind of waiting for that.
Yeah.
Like, please just kill this. Can we kill this guy faster?
Well, it was a lot of waiting because, like, with all the hype and the way that this show runs with everyone dying, like, I thought a lot more of our people were going to die.
Yeah.
And
we lost some big people.
Well, I know. And Jorah, we lost her. Jorah,
Sir Frenzen.
Jorah, and Theon, mm-hmm. and Lady Mormont,
mm-hmm.
and so both the Mormonts are gone. That's crazy.
And Ed,
that one sucked. He got stabbed right quick.
Yeah.
But that was the. Did Gilly get taken down in the crypt? Did that happen?
I don't think so.
Because she was getting dragged.
There was like, a lot of people getting grabbed, and like, and they were all wearing those same brown tunics, and they're all women. And I was like, wait. And again, with the lighting and dust, I was like, was that Gilly? And BJ's like, I think so. And I was like, no. Okay, so. But
you know, we didn't see happen, which I thought we would. Was the little burn face girl?
Oh yeah,
fight somebody! I thought for sure
or
she was gonna,
killed.
Like, yeah, for sure, die. Like right. You're dead. Well, you're dead,
right? yeah. I mean, there was a lot of cool moments for sure, but as far as like, I just really liked the last episode better. I think I do appreciate the big epic fights,
mm-hmm.
and stuff, but. When it comes down to it, I think I enjoyed the more intimate, emotional episode that we got last week as opposed to this one because I think I was anticipating a lot of people dying, and the fact that it didn't really happen was like kind of a letdown of sort, even though I'm glad that my favorite people are still around, but I was kind of like, I had emotionally invested myself into this where people are going to bite the dust.
Right.
And then only a couple people, side characters, really. I mean, Jorah isn't really a side character. He's kind of a major. I was most upset.
He was
about
the one that I was like, maybe it'll be him. Yeah. Like, maybe it'll.
I thought for sure. I knew Theon was going to die.
Yeah, I knew Theon was going to die.
I didn't know it was going to be this episode, but I knew he was dead. I mean, because I'm in a death pool.
Right.
And I picked Theon. I picked Brienne, and I thought she very well could die this episode because her character arc is basically complete now that she's a knight.
Now that she made it. Yeah.
But she didn't, so I'm like, all right. I did not expect Jorah. That one I did not expect at all.
I thought he would. Like me and my buddies at work came up with some crazy shit.
Not
we thought Dany was going to turn into like a white, and then he was going to have to kill her.
Oh wow!
Yeah, like we were going off the rails with our like theories.
I think they're
going to
save.
Stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say that they're going to save that because that she's one of the main people that people are either pulling for or expect to kind of.
She gained some points back throne. With me this episode. Gained a few points back in the "You're Badass" and I remember why I love you, Danny.
Yeah,
like
why's that?
Just the way that she carried herself and like she's showing human emotion again, as opposed to like I'm the queen and everyone, right? And like when her whole Dothraki horde got annihilated instantaneously, she like reacted emotionally. It was like fuck this, I can't just sit around. I need to get out there. And she like hopped on the dragon, and it totally blew their plan. But it's like she reacted the way you like should react. And so I was like, oh, sweet. And then she did everything she could. And then she's not a fighter at all. But she picked up a sword and was defending Jorah while he's laying there almost dying, trying to defend her.
That's
I was
so
like,
cool. That's cool.
You know what, Danny? This is why we love you. You're being a person again. You're showing us real emotion. And she cried when Jorah was dying. Like, he knew that, like, he could see in his last moment that she actually did love him. Like, however you want to interpret the love.
Right.
Yeah. But, like, he was her number one guy for sure. And so, like, it just, like, it, the way that she reacted to stuff actually reminded me that, oh, yeah, Danny, you're not just a crazy power-hungry bitch like everyone thinks you are this season.
Yeah, well, they've definitely been playing that up a lot.
Right.
Like, her pride and
I'm the queen and you should listen to me and I don't care what anyone else thinks. It's like, well, no one likes you when you're like that. Like we want you to be the breaker of chains and like the mother of dragons.
Yeah,
like,
all your titles.
Yeah, we want you to be those things, not
this is Jon Snow.
Yeah.
Oh, he's king of the north. Thanks, Davos.
Yeah. Not holder of insecurities.
I thought Davos was gonna bite it this episode for sure too.
Nah, he's got more to do.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what exactly, but he has more to do.
But like so many of the people, Gendry, I thought maybe was going to die this episode, and like,
yeah.
But yeah, no, just Jorah.
Gendry gets the throne. That's my theory.
Hell yeah, right.
Gendry wins the throne.
Or Arya's.
Daenerys dies, and everyone's like, "Jon, you have to be king." And Jon's like, "No, like I'm going to do what's right. Like he should. He's the rightful successor, so he's going to be king.
Right.
I'm going to go back up into the north
and the Targaryen. And,
line. So you know what I'm looking.
I'm going
to
go back into the north and fucking look for ghosts because. Direwolves are expensive, apparently.
I didn't get why Ghost was in on the front, the freaking front lines.
Why
are you sending Ghost in the front? Stay with John. Stick Ghost
John's
with fucking Bran.
There you go. Exactly.
John's like, I got to upgrade now, homie. You go out in the front lines.
Like,
see ya.
It's like, why isn't Ghost just chilling underneath Bran's wheelchair? Like, come at me, bro.
Right.
So that was my... I like the episode overall. Like, and I didn't have
no.
Any problems.
It was good. It was just
I didn't have any problems seeing stuff.
Yeah.
On my TV, but I'm like hyper crazy calibration, whatever. So
that's
maybe that has something
TV
to do with it.
Looks
I don't
good
know.
Too. But, we should have turned the lights off. I should have turned the lights.
Oh yeah, we watched it in darkness. Yeah, it was.
I should have. We did. That's probably.
So that might.
I'm sure it was
issue.
Still like.
Yeah, but if I would have turned the lights off and turned on my backlighting, it would have made things a lot better.
Oh well.
What I didn't. Well, not what I didn't like, but what bugged me was Bran's like, I'm going to be Bran. I'm going to check the fuck out when people need me the most to like do anything.
Right.
Do anything.
I thought for sure
anything.
He was going to do, he was going to get into somebody.
Or something.
I thought that he was going to, my thought was he was going to get into one of the White Walkers, or to the Night King.
Into the dragon.
Into the dragon, yeah. Or
that's
into the, or into one of his, because I was like.
Cronies.
Yeah. And then like, shank him. From the side.
Or how come Bran's not sitting there with like a fucking like expando like or a blowgun with a fucking
like
dragon glass in it. He just has a blowgun, a dart gun.
Night King.
And Night King's walking at him and he just like spit wads him with
you
him.
Are good, kid. Real good.
Yeah. With a dragon glass.
You didn't see that coming.
Next to me, I'll always be second best.
Or a sword or anything. Like how come Bran's just sitting there like, give the guy a fucking sword.
He knew what was going to happen.
I get. Well, see, that's the other confusion. I thought Bran couldn't see the future. I thought he could only see the past and what's happening presently.
That's what my understanding was too.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I don't know either.
Because if he knew what was going to happen, then why the hell did they have a whole battle? And unless it's like one of those, like it had to happen.
Because my
like kind of go to the other side of the coin real quick. It's like Doctor Strange knew what was
exactly.
Up.
I was going to say it was like Endgame. Yeah.
So maybe it had to happen this way.
My understanding of, and this is like just based off of some sort of book, tangible knowledge or whatever. My understanding is that the Green Seers connect. Directly to people, like they watch specific people.
Sure.
And they're not just watching the world, like they connect to a person, they watch what that person does and where they go and blah, blah, blah. Which is how the Night King was able to see like the dragon coming north and how he's able to plan to get that because he's basically Bran but dead.
Right.
And Bran is able to connect to everyone that he knows. But my question was, like, the Night King could see, obviously, he was able to see ahead and he could plan for shit, because how else could he do all the things that he had done?
Right.
But he didn't see Arya coming.
Which was...
Because she isn't a person. She's nobody.
She's nobody.
Ooh, dude, that's a deep... That's dope.
Deep cut.
That is. That's good.
Deep cut.
That's good.
Man, that was bitching, by the way.
That was good.
That was so cool. But she screams like, why are you screaming?
I know.
You leap in for the kill.
Ah, I'm here.
There's two things.
Look at me.
One was Theon like, okay, and then like running from 40 yards.
No. Nah, I was cool. What else is Theon
going to do? It was cool. I know. It was cool, but for some reason.
Because he had to make up for, he's making up for everything.
It would have been.
The completion of him, his redemption.
I do almost wish like he had a Boromir moment, though, where he just like dropped the spear and was like.
He freaking did. He killed a bunch of
things. No, I know. Right before that. I know. Yeah. But like to go.
His character had
to. But to die, yeah. It would have been cooler if he died fighting instead of like basically giving himself up.
Sure.
Like, but I feel like it was. I feel like his character arc was on point.
Yeah
for sure.
Time. Like the whole time.
Yeah.
He wasn't Jesse on Breaking Bad,
right?
Like, where he was just tortured and then there's no redemption for him.
Right.
He got some redemption and it was
well, and
was
he
good.
To an extent here, like he deserved the torture he got because he was kind of a douche. Like he betrayed everyone he knew and loved and like. And then he got his shit handed to him in the worst way, which is not cool. No. But then, like, he redeemed himself. So yep. I feel like that's pretty legit.
Yeah.
Great arc overall.
Yep. Happy with that.
It was really cool to see Samwell like whooping some ass.
Yeah,
like I thought he was gonna be like all I can't do it and turn into Sam the coward again. But no, he was out there fucking stabbing those assholes in the face.
He's got a family, man. He's like he's got to protect his family.
At the end there, when he's in like the pile of like corpses, he's like. And he's like weeping. I'm like, okay, I'll give you that one, Sam. Yeah. I'm like, I would be probably like that too.
Well, and that scene was super pivotal also because like that's John's bestie right there. And like John has a mission.
Fucking leaves.
And he sees Samwell getting buried by the whites. And he's like, I gotta go, dude. Sorry, right. bro.
That
like,
was brutal.
And you saw him like turn back for a second and then like, nope, gotta go this way. I was like, oh God. And then he sees Brienne. He's running through seeing everyone getting their asses handed to him. Man.
Yeah. John is about, that's why he should be king. He's about the mission, the greater good.
Yeah.
Always about the greater
good. But isn't he dead too?
He's undead. Died. Yeah. He came back.
He's undead.
Was Beric dead? No. He came back too.
He fucking is now. Bro.
Yeah, now he's toast. I thought for a second Red Woman was going to be like, I'll do it again.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, that's weird. So here's the thing. Are they ever going to tell us why she's old lady?
She's just been around for a long time.
Yeah, I think that her appearance is part of a spell or
the glamour
like a,
charm.
Yeah.
It's an old D&D spell, but it checks out.
But why? I just don't. It's weird. And then because the battle's over and everything that she knew was going to happen came to pass, she's like, "Well, I can."
She's done.
I think she served her purpose. Yeah, she served her purpose.
It's just weird. That's like one of those. Well, how come?
Also, she was awesome in this episode.
Yeah,
like, in general,
it just didn't play in like the like. I thought there was going to be some sort of at least a minor explanation for why she's like because it had nothing to do with anything. All of a sudden, one day, it's end of an episode. It's like, oh shit, she's an old lady, and it's like okay. And then the next time we see her, she's back to being young Melisandre again. And then she shows up, and then like at the very end of the thing, she takes off her necklace. Thing goes dead. She's like, well, I'm done, old lady. Poof. Dead.
See, I always looked at it as. Not just her, but the whole religion, like the followers of the Lord of Light. Like nothing is exactly what they say it is for any of the religions in Westeros. But with the Lord of Light, like there is something to it, obviously, because there is some power there. But it's never fully explained, which I love.
Sure.
I love that it's not fully explained.
No, that's
don't,
true.
Please don't explain it to me. Like just let it be a thing. Don't try and answer like, is this really a god? Is it something else? Blah, blah, blah. Just let it be awesome and let me kind of come to my own conclusions and think about it that way. Because it lends itself to like really awesome moments, like her coming in and like lighting all the Dothraki.
Dude, that was bitching.
That's so freaking cool.
And the Dothraki.
No one else could light the transition. She lights that too. But when she rode in through the gate, my favorite moment was when she rides in when Ser Davos opens the gate.
Yeah,
he's like, open the gate and let her in. And they open the gates open, and the literal light comes in as she rides. I'm like.
That was dope.
Nice touch.
There you go.
Whoever's working this production is doing pretty good.
Well, then there's the opposite end of that spectrum where when she has to go light the trenches, like Grey Worm's like, mount up, let's protect her and let her do it.
Yeah.
And like they all run out there and boom, stake their ground, and she's like, let me just fucking take my sweet fucking 45 second
could
walk.
You hurry up?
Like, how about you just run out
run
there?
The
we need this
there.
Shit burning now. Like
people are dying.
Like, what are you doing? It's so funny. I said out loud, I was like, could she go any slower? So anyway, I guess the big to do of this episode is Night King got toasted.
I did not expect that. I thought they were going to draw that out in some way.
I thought they were going to draw it out too, maybe, and like cut to black right before he touched Bran, and then maybe started the next episode with what happened. But like, I was pleasantly surprised. And then I'm jaded because we watched the Behind the Thrones or whatever the little behind the scenes thing,
right? Yeah,
and it was kind of cool that they were like, everyone expected Jon because Jon's been the hero of the heroes of heroes, and so like we didn't want Jon to do it, and like who else? And so I was like, good choice.
I won't say I knew that was going to happen, but I will say that was one of the things I thought might happen. It could have also been Jaime because there was a whole big deal about Jaime abandoning the South. I'm like, all right, maybe he's got some part to play there. But then I remembered like when Bran gets the dagger back and he deliberately hands it to Arya.
Yep.
And you've seen this weapon so many times now and it's never stabbed anybody.
And it was dope that it's the one that's meant to kill Bran, and it's the one that redeemed their safe.
If that's not a Chekhov's gun, then I've never seen one before.
It's so funny that she's this like expert killer.
Oh yeah,
Who's like stealth, and but the moment
when it comes down to it,
Well, and even in this episode, she's back to her like cat chasing ways or whatever you want to call it. When she's like sneaking around in the halls of Winterfell,
super stealth,
and the zombies are like, "Where is she?" And she's like, "You can't even hear her moving."
That was so cool. That scene was really cool. I like that scene.
It just it was that scene was dope because it came at the right time in the episode where
you
it's like
a break from all
the crazy loud action and it's like now it's for something else. Let's see
and
what's
now for
going
something
on.
Completely different.
Let's see what's happening inside. All quiet.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
And everyone was right with the let's hide down in the crypts because then the dead Starks
they
came
telegraphed that pretty hard. The crypts. Have you heard about the crypts? I heard we're going to hide in the crypts. We should be hiding in the crypts. Let's say crypts one more time.
And I was like, wait, aren't there dead people down there? Oh, wait, there are. And then he's like, come at me, bro. He did his like, here we go. I'm going to raise the dead. And then sure as shit, here comes the
that
dead Starks out of their
motherfucker.
Graves.
Motherfucker, I'm glad he's dead. that fucking face.
His face was too much. And then especially because that was all slow motion, all that thing. It took so long.
I didn't like that part either. I'm like,
from the time that
walk over to him. Oh my God, guys, you're dragging it out a little
they
too long.
They dragged it
here.
Out long.
A little too
time.
Long.
Yeah. Well, that's because this is the episode they added like 20 extra minutes back in. And I'm like, maybe we didn't need 20 extra minutes. Like, if you're gonna walk everywhere, like maybe have a little bit more sense of urgency.
I could have gone with the 20 less minutes of that episode.
But it was dope, dude. When Arya just comes out of the fucking shadows and like jumps and you're like, oh shit, she's gonna stab
him. Like, I got
and then
you.
He like choke holds her and then it like does that epic fucking shot or like boom. Like she drops the knife and like you instantly think like, oh shit, dude, he's like choking her out and she can't do it. Yeah. But she drops it to be like, bitch, I caught it in my other hand. Stab.
It's like, stab you. I stab you.
And like Samantha instantly saw something on Facebook, so I can't take credit for it, but it was a funniest thing in the world. She's like, he's like, why are you smiling? Because I know something you don't know. What's that? I am not left-handed. It was like the best meme of all time.
That's hilarious.
Whoever did that.
I was like, bravo, instant meme of well like 5 minutes played. After the episode's out. Like, somebody's already on it. I'm like,
kudos.
Dude.
Which totally plays back to the whole thing about her learning how to be left-handed for the part.
Yeah. But that's what made it so, I was like, dude, that's fucking hilarious, dude. That's like, so it just funny. Fucking ties into the Princess Bride like left-handed. Perfectly. I am not left-handed. Wham! God, and then he just toasted, dude. Everyone shattered.
So I'm glad that that's over with. Like the dead, the Night King and the
3 episodes to wrap that up after 10 years.
I am, and I'm not, because I'm a big fan of like cosmic horror, like the things that we don't understand that
zombie
are coming
stuff.
To destroy. Not just zombies, but there's that the sort of inexorable force that's coming to destroy us, and we don't really understand it. We don't know what its motivations are. We don't know what it wants. We don't know anything. We just know we're going to try and survive.
Yep.
So it has to wrap up somehow. So I'm glad they're wrapping it up. But I'll miss that aspect of the show.
I guess what I don't like about it is it seems like it's not the normal rules of like this human gamesmanship of this of the whole Game of Thrones between the living people.
Right.
It's and there's not. So much like you know like such a chess game to try to happen, and then it's like the dead who are like, we cannot be stopped, and I'll kill everybody, and his smug face was just perfect
but
for
it. It still plays an important role in that because there's the whole like, we don't believe you, we've never seen that. It's like, but I've seen it, I swear, like they're coming, and now they're gonna go back south, and people like the common people, they won't fucking know what they did.
So there's, like, there's probably a few
but people, now there's no Dothraki.
There'll probably be more like dead. More dead at some point, like in some way. Just like there were like no dragons and people didn't believe in dragons forever.
Speaking of, is there only one dragon left? Is there? Are we sure?
Yeah, there's two.
Okay,
I don't remember seeing an image of both of them at the end. I saw
there was the one that showed.
Wasn't there
up.
An image?
There was the image of the one like
there was an image of two of them in the
protecting her
coming up next on Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I did not remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
The coming up next on Game of Thrones.
No, before
like 5
I saw that,
long.
I was like, is there just one dragon left?
And yeah, the one that was like, predicting because the one that John was riding got his ass whooped by that blue dragon. He crashed hard.
That's cool. The scene of them like flying up above the clouds, that was beautiful.
Yeah,
above the clouds, I was like, yay,
I can see it.
Right. Yes. Thank you. I love this.
Yeah, that fight, that whole fight scene was a little Transformers-y.
Yeah. Really it's like, what's happening? It's all in the clouds.
And I get it because it's like fully animating dragons for like 10 minutes straight is crazy.
It was
a
100,
expensive.
Right. 100 reminiscent of Seabiscuit with Tobey Maguire on like the saddle.
I actually never saw that.
Like, there's so much of the movie is Tobey Maguire riding the horse.
Just a saddle.
But it's like, well, he has this, like, thing that's, like, this, like, I'm sure it's not a mechanical horse head, but it, like, goes back and forth, and he's just holding on to it. And it's like, well, duh, he's not really riding a horse. He's, like, way too big for that. And, A, and, like, second of all, like, the CG of him riding the horse is probably a lot of money. So, so it's just like, here's John riding a dragon. Is he? Yeah. It's like he's riding a mechanical bull.
Yeah.
And like, that's all we see.
Yeah,
like
I saw the actual green screen of him filming that when he's like riding the dragon. Not from this episode, but from, because they had it behind the.
Oh, is that where he like talked about where he's like hanging by his ball sack or whatever?
His ball sack got caught on it.
Yeah. Oh. And he continued the scene. Yeah.
That's commitment to
he
your
was
art.
Literally being held on by his nutsack.
He's the king of the north, man. This is reason those hard sons of bitches chose. Yeah,
and they're like, cut, and he's like, thank you guys.
My well, don't cut, but if you could just like lift and move around, that
gently,
would be good.
Yes. Gently readjust.
Nice.
It's not that I didn't like this, but this was one of those, all right, this is a fan service moment where they had Liana Mormont die stabbing a giant in
right.
the eye.
Yes.
I'm like, mm. All right, I'll give you that.
Yeah,
like that's cool, but
again, it was even it
you
was,
did that for the fans, you
and it was
you
made
didn't do that for the story,
and it was made better again by watching the after the episode thing where they're like, she was supposed to be a one scene character, and everyone fell in love with her,
this
so they brought her
was
back.
So good,
and so I was like, oh, okay, and so then they're like, yeah, we wanted to give her kind of a cool death because the fans really liked her, and I'm like, okay,
yeah,
but to know the fact that she was supposed to only be in that one initial scene, and then because she's so cool and badass, they're like, well, let's send her out in epic fashion.
Yeah, oh, I hope to see her in more stuff that she gets to.
She got Ben. She was Ben Linus.
So I'm fan
added to the whole thing.
So I'm fan. I'm a fan of like. Fan service like that.
Yeah.
I was like, that's cool. Like,
yeah,
you
I was on the fence about it.
Yeah, I was like, it's all right.
Yeah, there's some fan service that I love and some that I'm like, about. Yeah. And that one was like right in the middle.
Yeah. It was all right. It was okay. Like I said, the whole episode for me was just kind of okay until the end when it was like epic as fuck. And like, you just see everyone like fighting for their lives. Like, I love that. And like, you could just see like every time, like Brienne would get tackled and Jamie was like, fuck, I can't be over here. I got to go help her. And then like he fell down and then she's helping him. And then like, everyone's just like in it, dude. Like
when it was coming down to it, when like John's trying to get to the Godswood to protect Brienne and you see like all the people, I said to Lindsay, I was like, oh, only the level 100 fighters are left standing.
Right. Right. And all like when he finally decides
plus
like
25 swords is high as you get.
When he finally decides
a lot of points in dexterity
to go help Bran, he's like, I gotta go help. He like basically just yells to Danny, Bran, turns around and bails.
Danny's like, what the fuck?
Well, and not only that, but Danny's like, okay, see ya. And then she just sits there and sits there and sits there and sits there and sits there.
I was
there.
Like, go I'm like, help him.
Pave the way or something. Yeah. And then all the whites show up and like take down the dragon. He's flying away like, get off me, get off me. And I'm like, oh no, they're going to kill him. But it's like, why didn't you take off?
Yeah.
Well, as soon as John left, why didn't you get the fuck in the air?
She doesn't have... Danny has no fucking battle sense. Like, she's flying around for, I don't know, 20 minutes trying to get her way back to Winterfell because she couldn't remember which freaking direction she went
in. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was foggy.
Killing me. You're killing me.
Yeah, anyway. So personally, I'm glad to see, like, that storyline end.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'm excited to get Cersei back in the mix. That's two episodes in a row without, like, the main...
No Cersei whatsoever.
Yeah, who's just the most fun villain to watch at the moment.
Yep. And it was dope to see, like, when Sansa and I thought, I was like, you better not try ice yourself.
Suicide.
I was like, what is happening right now? Once she showed the knife, and like, then he kissed her hand. I was like, what? But it was just dope to be like, oh, yeah, I remember that we actually like each other. Like, I thought that was cool. Moment.
Yeah.
And even before that, when she's like, you're the best of them.
He's
like,
that was super sweet.
Yeah.
But then it's getting like,
compared to what, though?
And who was
the other? Jamie and all of them.
She was talking about her best of her intendants.
No, she was not. She was talking about Lannisters.
No, she was talking about.
No, I thought husbands.
That was right after she said when he was saying they were married.
Yeah.
Yes.
So who's the fucking.
I took it as. I took it as she
Ramsay and Joffrey.
I took it as she was talking about the Lannisters.
Out of those three, I like you the best. Yeah, that's hilarious. That's funny.
Any final thoughts on Game of Thrones?
I'm looking forward to the rest of the episodes. Like now that one's done, You know, like, I wasn't even looking forward to this one in a way, because it was like, oh, some people are going to die. And I knew it was going to be an all battle episode. I mean, we talked about that. Yep. Well, this next one's going to be all battle. So it served its purpose. And now, yay. Now let's wrap it up.
Back to the sunlight.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I like full battle episodes and full fight shit.
Yeah. But out of all of the full battle ones too. Though, like, I like this one the least because of the way it was done. Like, you couldn't see anything. So, like, all the other ones were really, like, you could see it really well. I liked those ones better. Yeah. So, maybe it was because the impending doom that I felt knowing some characters that were I thought more were gonna die.
There's that sort of line, and Dunkirk does this too, where it's, we're trying to be real. Like, right. if you're in this battle at night, you wouldn't fucking see shit either.
Right. No,
and
I get that.
There's a line there, like, you can't go like full realistic, because then we wouldn't see anything at all.
Right.
But if you want to, like, push a little bit towards that side, that's okay. And in some parts, I feel like, especially on the dragon flight fight, that works. Especially in that part, they went a little too far with, like, the visibility's low and they don't know where they're going. That's like,
right.
That I understand that, but, like, as a viewer, I need to know a little bit about what's happening. Right. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
But most of the rest of it didn't really bug me.
The thing that they did very...
I also like Dunkirk, so...
The thing they did very, very well in this episode was the sense of dread.
Yes.
Where I was like... I don't know, halfway through the episode, I audibly said out loud, I was like, they're fucked, dude. They're like, there's so no way they're
when,
winning.
Like, when the dead
I was
charge
like, it's
in,
impossible.
And they're not even, like, individuals running. It's just, like, a massive,
yeah.
Like,
I was like, there's
other.
No way.
Like, how do
dude?
They stop that?
Everyone's
and then,
fucked.
And then you can't, you kind of can't blame the hound when he like freezes up. He's like, we're fucking screwed.
Right.
Like,
that's exactly right around when I felt that and said it out loud. I was like, dude, they're fucked. Like, there's no.
That was sweet, though. They're like, tell her
moment.
That.
Tell her that. And she comes out. And I'm like,
that
girl.
Good. And he's like, oh, was her. Yeah, that was all. I liked all that.
And then he came and helped her and saved the day.
Yeah.
He's bitching.
He fulfilled his purpose.
That's right. It was dope.
It's the whole Lord of Light.
Craziness. It was dope, man. Dude. It's good shit. Anyway, moving on and swapping out our chit chat. Let's hit this button just one more time. But let's talk about
Endgames. Oh boy.
Did you guys like this one?
Jared, I don't know,
dude.
I loved it.
It was. So good.
I ran into someone last night who did not like it, and I was like, "You shut your fucking mouth! I will never trust your taste in movies."
So good, like
this is awesome.
I don't want to say this out loud just because whatever, but it's almost like Best Picture worthy of something along those lines, where the fact that it was so well done,
if they don't,
and like artistically and emotionally and everything that was involved in this movie, 23 films leading up to this one thing, where I was like, "There's no way they're going to be able to fit 48 characters in one scene." It had me think it's cool.
There
and guess what they did?
Legitimately good performances in this movie.
Great performances.
Scarlett Johansson especially.
Yes, dude.
Like,
Robert
the beginning
Downey
of the movie
Jr.
where she's looking like all broken down and shit. I'm like, damn.
Well, the 5 years later thing also when she's like, I'm the last one left trying to run this shit. Like, so much of it, of her performance,
you
was
feel the weight of it.
Dope.
Coming from her.
And I mean, Robert Downey Jr. is an Academy Award winner for a fucking reason. Like, he stepped it up and proved it again, like multiple times in this film. Like, when he comes out of the, like, 5 years later and back from space or whatever, and he's all skinny and dead. And he's like, what are we doing? Why? Or not even, that wasn't even the 5 years later. That was the start of the film.
That was, before. They
or it's like, what are we doing? We lost, guys. We lost. Everyone's gone. We suck. The Avengers suck.
We failed.
Yeah. And I'm like, damn.
Did you have any moment during that where you're like, don't be such a dick, Tony Stark.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
like lots of times we're like, dude, come on, you're being a dick.
Yeah.
And so there was a little bit of that that I thought, I don't know if they overplayed that or not.
I felt it was justified because we already know that he already has guilt and PTSD from failing before.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, not even failing, but like, we can't do this. Like,
we're in over our heads.
Yeah, we're in over our heads. I'm just a dude. Like, I'm just a dude wearing a suit.
That's always
like,
been his angle.
Yeah.
And so, like, finally he's like, yeah, we were way in over our heads this time. Like, this dude has the power of the universe in his palm, and we tried to take him out, and we failed, and you, Cap, you weren't there to help. And it's like, well, I felt that was kind of fucked up, because I was like, Cap was helping. He just wasn't locked in spaceship like you were.
he was there. He's not...
But he doesn't know. Yeah. But, so, rewinding real quick, like, the very beginning of the fucking movie, like, everyone knows what's going to happen when Clint's there playing like, oh, I'm stuck on house arrest. And hey, I'm going to teach my kid to shoot an arrow. Let's play catch. I was like, I know what's coming in the next 30 seconds. And guess what? Everyone's toast. And I'm like, God, way to rip my heart out right at the beginning of the movie. Ass faces.
Brutal.
Yeah.
I loved, though, that they gave him a lot more part of the storyline.
Oh, yeah.
And let his character be a badass, because I kept wanting to see in all the other movies him do more and be a bigger badass.
Yeah.
And, I would still love to see a Hawkeye standalone film. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they would do one or not, but.
He's getting a show? Is he not getting a show? I thought he was getting a show. Him and his daughter, like he's training his daughter.
Oh, yeah.
I think, isn't that a show?
She's.
Oh, really?
I forget what she becomes. Yeah. I forget the name of it.
But I think he's has a show.
With Jeremy Renner?
Or? I think so. Well, at least his daughter's going to be the star, so maybe he'll cameo. Yeah.
He'll kick
Disney
it off.
Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Disney Plus.
So, like I said, I'm going to be all over the map on this one, but.
Sure.
Captain America, I think. It's my favorite. Like, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love Iron Man. I love Robert Downey Jr. But I think Cap is my favorite character in the series.
Yeah,
he's good. He's good.
Like,
and he's great in this movie in a lot of ways that he's never has been before. So the standout moment for me is when he's in the elevator and you're thinking, oh, we're gonna get another elevator fight and look at Winter Soldier, and he goes, Hail Hydra.
And you're
like, oh,
that
yeah,
was because he knows really
it's because he knows and that's what's happening. Yeah, it was like,
that was super dope.
And it was double so it was double awesome because they had him do that. He says that in the comics, like that was like 2 or 3 years ago, and people were pissed. Like, Cap would never say that. He would never say that. And he does it in this jam. I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah, when he's stuck in a jam. Yeah. I'm taking point on the scepter.
So cool.
No, you're not. They're all like, we have orders to specifically avoid you like the plague.
Yeah. It's okay.
It's okay. Hail Hydra. I was like, word. and then he's like,
smirk as he
you got to be shitting me. And then he fights himself. It's like, fuck.
And the guy, and then he goes, I can do this all day. He's like, yeah, I know. Yeah, okay, I know.
No, it was dope, dude.
That is America's ass.
That was so funny.
I love Captain.
So in this movie, like, they kill Thanos like fairly early.
Yeah. And yes, like, and so, 15 minutes in, so Thanos like, head chopped well, off
quite quickly.
Well, fuck. You know, like, now this is like, now what?
Yeah.
And part of me was kind of like a little bit thinking like, maybe this isn't going to be a good movie, like, because I was like, where are you going to go from here?
Right.
But then when they start and then they do, God, it was freaking brilliant. Like, where they're like, oh, we can go back in time. And because of that, they're able to pay homage to all the different movies.
Oh, yeah.
And do a little Back to the Future thing where you're looking at yourself. Which was so cool. That was so great.
Cool.
When Hulk sees himself. He's like smashing the
chair. He's Professor Hulk now. He's like, oh, shit, dude.
See, hey, you might have to smash some stuff along the way. He's like pretending like.
That was so funny. I enjoyed that so much.
He was one of my favorite parts of the movie, and just in general,
Hulk.
Yeah.
Because nobody was expecting that.
Right? I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting.
We're all hoping to like see him Hulk out at some point, and just right off the bat, it's like, oh,
he's Professor Hulk. Got it.
That's dope. And that's, I'm assuming that's part of the comic. Yeah, so.
Where he figures cool. the best. He literally,
figures
I mean,
out the balance.
And they just there's you don't need a movie for that. You don't need nothing. He just tells them like, yeah, I figured it out. Okay, cool. We're on board for that. Yeah. Like,
we'll buy that.
That whole scene too, where they're in the coffee shop.
You know, take a selfie.
Yeah. How about me? I'm Ant-Man. Yeah. It's so funny.
Now they want to take a selfie with you. Yeah, they do. Like, yeah. Okay. All right. Bye.
Think it was that one, or was it Infinity War where they're talking about the ice cream? And he says, we're going to get some ice cream. Like, I like, and they had Ben and Jerry's had made some, like.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's in Infinity War. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Hulk.
They named one after me.
Is that a thing?
That's a thing?
Yeah. After me. Yeah.
So good.
I loved the time travel aspect of it. I love that they kept referencing other movies. There was even like when War Machine and Ant-Man and they're like, you can't change the past.
Die Hard?
You can't change the past. Yeah, don't you know? You've learned in everything. Time Cop, Back to the Future. Like every time travel movie, I was like, that's funny. Yeah, that's a good moment.
It's for all of us. Yeah, it's all of the movie nerds.
And I love that like, Tony is the one that figured it out. Like, that's dope. Like, just that 5 years later scene with him and Pepper and the kid. I'm like, that's dope. Like,
And then the fact you see a little bit of his selfishness where he's like, I'm doing okay.
Yeah, fuck so, that.
But, you know, I feel right. a sense of duty. I have a sense of duty, so we'll do this, but I don't want to lose what I've got.
Yeah, and, like, and he even said, like, I'm not losing.
I will give up the entire universe for my family.
If we can't do it and I have to come back, guess what? That's what's happening. I was like, word. Yeah. That's how you should be. I mean, at this point in the game.
Yeah.
Golly, like, where do you want to go next with this thing?
Hoi, 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 hoi.
I mean, do you want to come out with it?
Individual, like, going out with individual characters.
What did you guys think of how they... I've heard some flack about how they handled Thor. How do you feel about Thor?
I thought it was great.
You know, it's funny. I talked to Kim Kunkel after the other day, this weekend. We'd both seen the movie. And we're both like, oh, I loved it.
I love Fat Thor.
And she was like, I don't like the way they did with Thor because she wants to see sexy. She wants to see sexy Thor. Yeah. And she was like, you know, she was expecting him at some point to like get it together,
right?
You know, but
the main complaint that I heard was that they felt like he was the one going through some serious like depression and stuff, and they were like, they just turned that into a joke.
Yeah, that's legitimate.
And I'm like, I can see that too, but at the same time, it's like, they were like, this guy's going through some serious depression, anxiety, all this stuff that's like, it could have been a very good, like, PSA type moment, but instead they're like, fat joke, fat joke, fat joke, fat joke. But I'm like, at the same time, I'm like, Thor has been the comedic relief from the beginning, but...
I mean, since Infinity War, anyway.
No way, because he's like always been the fish out of water, like sarcastic. I don't know what's happening.
But it wasn't. It was definitely turned up.
Oh yeah, three or four notches for sure.
After Ragnarok, because like, even Chris Hemsworth was not happy with his characterization.
Right,
like up until pretty much that point.
I don't know. I maybe it's because I don't have any depression, anxiety type thing. But like, I thought it was handled pretty well.
Yeah, you'd probably be a lot more sensitive to how other people respond to someone going through that.
Right.
If you, either you have been someone around someone who's gone through that, or if you've gone through that yourself. As with most complaints about a movie where people fly through the air and travel through time and disintegrate things, blah, blah, blah. I don't behold this world to the rules of ours in a lot of ways.
Right.
Not just that, but like a lot of people were nitpicking the time travel. I'm like, guys, like, really, you're gonna it's a talking raccoon, and we want to nitpick their science of time travel.
My nitpick of the time travel is something as dumb as like, you explained how it doesn't work, and then you're like, but it'll work if we do it like this, and then they like kind of turn that on its head when Cap at the very end, the Captain America thing. I'm like, well, you just contradicted your whole theory about how this works, because like, now he's never been in the right timeline. That means he's never been there. So it's like, wait, he's never been an Avenger. So like, you contradicted yourself. But at the same time, like you said, it's a fucking comic movie. Who cares?
Not just that. With any movie, when characters like learn or discover something, who's to say they're 100% right about the way that it works?
Right.
Like, we don't know. They barely fucking know. They only just figured it out. So. I'm like, we need to let that go. But as far as Fat Thor goes, my big complaint, now that I'm going to bring it back to that, wasn't the way they did Fat Thor and the way the movie handled it, the way he handled it, the way the acting was, or any of that, the jokes they made. It was the people in my fucking theater. They found it way funnier than it should have been.
Oh, boo.
Like, Fat Thor was funny. Fat Thor was funny when you first saw him, and when he hugs Rocket, you're like, wah-ha-ha, he's fat.
Yeah.
But then literally every time they saw his gut, I feel like, I'm like,
he fat.
God, he fat. Fucking stupid.
The only other time it was really funny was when he hung out with his mom.
Yeah.
And she's like, that was the last time. You're not the Thor I know.
You should eat a salad.
that was the only other time the joke came back.
It was funny three times.
Yeah.
And every other time he's kind of like, man, Thor's really himself. He's going through some shit.
So, you guys.
Which I felt that the whole time. I was like, dude, he's fucking. He feels responsible. He's had it rough. I mean, ever since Infinity War, when he's like, yeah, I'm good. How about your dad? He's dead too. How about this? I've lost everything. Yeah. I was like, so have shit.
Nobody.
And then he gives him the eye, and you're like, oh, okay. That's a good joke to make up for it. But it's like, damn. Like, you feel it then. So I felt they handled the depression aspect of it there. And then, you know, once he fails and he kills Thanos, but he can't bring anybody back, it's like, then he fails even harder. And what does he do? He falls into alcoholism. And I felt like they handled it well. And sure, make jokes about it, because this is the universe where we make jokes about stuff.
And it's a light. The movie's as dark as a lot of the aspects of the movie are. It is still very light in a lot of ways.
But I loved his arc in this movie, too.
So, in your theaters, they were full?
Yes.
Yes.
And how did you feel about your, so you had some guys.
I wanted to talk about that specifically because I go to movie theaters to experience the movie with people. Not just to see it on the big screen.
Right. Sure.
Seeing it on the big screen obviously is awesome with a great sound system and, you know, whatever, if you're seeing IMAX or 3D or blah, 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 like that's great. But I love the shared response. Like I thrive on that.
Me too. I love that too. I hate when somebody's sitting next to me going like, oh shit, did you see that? What about, oh man, did you see that rabbit? Oh, did you see that? He pulled out a gun. Like I hate that stuff. Yeah. But when, you know, someone shows up and, I mean, spoiler alert to my favorite part of the movie, when Cap goes whoosh and grabs Mjolnir, I did that too.
Like, I was the first person to do it. I said, woo! And everybody goes, yeah! Right after that.
Like,
yeah.
That yes! is the Dude, moment my, when you can theater, cheer and when, stuff when in a movie.
It erupts.
Like, that's you the see moment the, when you awesome. Cheer in a movie.
Now,
like,
when that happened, you saw the hammer get picked up and get kind of thrown, but you don't see who. People were like, they're like, oh, it's Captain Marvel. It's Captain Marvel. Yeah. And then... they don't explain how, see, and I still don't know, how does Captain America pick up the fucking hammer?
He's worthy. Apparently, I thought it was
like only like.
There's a moment in Age of Ultron where they're, you know, when they're doing the whole joke thing where they're like seeing if anybody can lift it.
And he moves it a little bit. Right.
And Thor's like, ha ha ha, that's funny. Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
But then apparently there's some
worthiness.
There's
I thought it was
comic
like something
book
else.
Lore about how like.
Only he can pick it
well,
up.
Well, he needed to do. Something to become super pure.
Yeah, so there's lore surrounding, and I'm going to get super nerdy about this. There's lore surrounding the enchantment on Mjolnir is that certain people can be worthy for a certain period of time in a certain instant if they need to accomplish a certain task.
Oh, really?
So it's like there's like the whole Justice League Avengers crossover where everyone's dead and it's just Superman left and he's got Cap's shield and Thor's hammer, which is one of the best things in comics ever.
Word.
And he picked it up then, but afterwards he couldn't. He can only do it in that moment
dude,
when he absolutely
fucking
needed
moment,
to.
Dude, when he got that fucking thing. But again, it's because so cool. I think it took this whole movie for me to realize finally that Captain America is my fucking favorite.
He's literally the best of them.
Like he is
unequivocally.
But I mean, I kind of got pissed at him during Civil War because I'm like, kind of with Tony on this one, guy.
I was Team Cap.
I liked how very complex and well. Argued both sides were how it wasn't a simple answer for either of them, and I could picture both of them easily being completely true to themselves in taking their stand. So I did enjoy that. I didn't like, you know, like I mentioned when we were talking about it, I'm not a fan of the people that I like duking it out with each other, but up until that point, I
mean, clash of ideals.
That fight was kind of fun too because it was clearly so tongue in cheek and so like they're not trying to kill each other. But
I mean, they were at the end.
At the end, though,
when he realized he's a liar. Oh, that's the lore that my brother-in-law said. Like, in order for him to become super pure, he had to come clean about knowing that Bucky killed Tony's parents.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he came clean with that, that's when he could become as pure as possible.
Yeah.
Because he had like this deep dark secret from his like best friend, basically. Anyway,
worthy.
Yeah, that was so dope. What do we think about the whole Hawkeye and Natasha Romanoff, Black Widow?
I thought that fight was really cool.
Yes,
I thought it was really cool.
It was cool, and it was kind of sweet. The whole thing was really sweet. I didn't know or have even an inkling of who. Actually, I thought maybe because that Hawkeye would. Live because he has a family.
He has a family.
Right.
And I thought that was like going to be like the thing that was the tipping
factor
the tipping
between
point.
Them, but yeah, they fought the whole way.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I loved the fact that they got that moment together because they're like BFFs. Yeah. Like they were always partners and there was never any like romance between them. And like somebody was like, oh, they're going to kiss. Like I heard somebody whisper that when they were.
They did kiss, right?
No.
No.
No, they did not. Because they're not, they have no romantic aspirations towards each other.
Uh-uh.
They like headbutted, like I love you type of like, we have so much mutual respect bros. And love for each other.
What kiss am I thinking about?
I don't know. She kissed Captain America one time in Winter Soldier when they had to like pretend
it was
on the escalator.
In Endgame, for sure. But anyway,
nope, it wasn't her. But I loved the fact that they showed that they were like so close and like had a super relationship. And neither of them wanted to let the other one go.
Yeah. Like now when they're flying to a spaceship, he's like, this beats the hell out of Budapest.
So they've been in the trenches before together. Right, yeah. So they have like their that brotherhood of
war buddies.
Yeah, war friends. So
I have a scratch or something on my eyeball. It's like driving me bananas. It's been nuts all day. Anyway, so I really, really, really loved her sacrifice, and it hit me emotionally hardcore. That was like the second the first moment is the opening of the film.
Yeah.
The second moment was that moment that was like, ooh.
You're probably more invested in her in this movie than you were in pretty much any other movie.
Right. Because she's showing her humanity again.
But she's been one of the characters for me that I've been like kind of the least emotionally invested in. And maybe it's because like Ant-Man or other ones where I just I don't have a long history of following her character. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't really know who she was until Avengers started. And so,
well, and in the movies, she's always just been like robotic. Like I'm an assassin.
Yeah. Right.
Like you kind of see her personality in Captain America. Winter Soldier when she's like a secret agent undercover or whatever with him, but
she's like Tony Stark but even more badass. Like she doesn't have anything special, like as far as like some kind of like genetic or
martial
or
arts
chemical.
She's just a hyper assassin.
Just a super bad, and not even she doesn't even have like you know bionic suits and stuff.
Nope. She's just badass.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
I guess Hawkeye's the same way too. He doesn't have any.
He just shoots bow and arrow and now can wield a freaking katana with holes in it.
My question, since we're talking about her now, my question regarding her at the end was, so does she get to come back since Cap gives the Soul Stone back? Soul for a soul?
That's what I was, well, obviously she has a movie, so they're going to have to do something. It could take place in the past, but like, probably. Who cares about what happened in the past now?
No. I want,
like, you
I
know what I mean?
I don't want any more of those. Unless it's like, if they're going to show her origin, that'd be kind of interesting, I guess.
I guess, but like, we already, if I do not want an origin Black Widow movie forward. If I already know that she's dead.
Yeah, go
like,
forward.
Good point.
Like, why would I care about? Oh, great! Here's
maybe
her
it'll
origin.
Start.
She's
maybe
a badass.
Maybe
great.
It'll start.
Oh wait,
like,
I know she's toast. Like,
it'll start with bringing her back with the.
Or it'll end with bringing her back.
Well, woo! So that's the other. Here's the other. Like, here's the other time travel thing. Is Loki alive somewhere? Or
right?
Or
some reality?
Is he though? Because like the whole time travel, like what are we gonna do? Because then they go back and they take the Tesseract stone again. That so was, like, does that Tesseract now not exist? So Loki can't get it. Like,
no, because he put it back.
That's so confusing.
Cap puts it back.
The whole putting back thing
wants
is funny.
To put it back where you got it from. So he went back to.
And those had to be daunting tasks too. So, but they just kind
of
like.
So they can make whole entire fucking movies out of those. Not maybe not movies, but that could be a movie like Cap's. Adventure through time, or his, or it could be a TV show.
So
like you see him pop in and out of like. The Marvel TV shows now.
Right.
That'd be really awesome.
Ah.
They opened the door to do a lot of really cool things outside of
this
movie.
Yes, they did.
So, speaking of that, at the end, and they his task is that, and then, okay, he'll be back in 5 seconds, and he doesn't come back. That was fucking brilliant. Like, it was just so well done. And
it's the exact send-off that Captain America deserved.
Oh, my God. Yep. And then, like, and you find out, like, you know what? Instead, I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to live my life with the love
with
of my life.
Yeah.
That I was weeping like a big baby during that. And then it's the girl sitting next to me. It was cool, too, because, like, I could hear her crying the whole time. And I was like, cool. And we talked afterwards,
I got
too.
So dope. I cried for like 20 minutes in this film.
For sure, I got choked
up. A lot.
There was a several months. Okay,
I got choked up when they brought all the heroes back. And I'm like,
yes, dude. When all the little Doctor Strange windows start opening up and they jump through, I was like, oh, shit.
Dude,
and
every
Spider-Man
single time
through,
somebody
like,
showed up, everyone in the theater was like, woo! Like every time somebody else came in through, woo!
Yeah.
And then Spider-Man came swinging in and the fucking place erupted, dude.
Yeah. That was fun. That's the goods.
That's why you go to the theater.
On opening weekend of a big movie.
On opening weekend of a movie. Like next month on a Tuesday.
Yeah, there'll be
you
like
don't go
because
people are going to be like talking and going like, oh my God,
so
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, shut up.
Yeah.
But opening weekend is dope because people cheer for the right things. Dude, when they all showed up, though, it was fucking
I'd add, I felt like they used Captain Marvel the exact right amount. In this movie,
yes,
and there's the whole question. It's like, well, she's crazy powerful. Like, is she just gonna go like do everything herself? And
like,
it's like, no. When they're like, when Black Widow's like, hey, we can use like a hand. She's like, there are 1,000 other planets, and they all have the same problems you guys have,
right?
And we're like,
Okay. I'm the only one that can go handle it. I'm cool. The only one that can get there.
You, and, oh, she said, and they don't have you.
Yeah.
And like,
they have you. Okay. I was like, dope. Also,
good point.
Shay brought this up on her Facebook. I don't know if you saw it or not. And I don't necessarily really want to call her out. But anyway, beside the point, Captain Marvel looked dope with short hair. I was like, damn. Like, not to like, you know.
I like the short hair better than the mohawk.
Absolutely. I was like, damn.
That is one of those.
That is a good look. I'm glad you.
In the comic.
Yes, I'm glad they went with the way she looks now. I was like, hell yeah.
Way cooler that way.
And she looked good too. Like, smoking hot. But no, I loved the fact that, like, how they used her. Like, at the very beginning, I was like, how are they going to get Tony out of this? Because I thought Tony died at the very beginning of the movie too. And I was like, oh, burn. Like, okay. Yeah. I was like, but I was like, okay, I was emotionally prepared for this. I'm glad he's dead. I was like, it's kind of a shitty way to go, but like, whatever.
So it goes.
But then, guess what? Captain Marvel saved the fucking day. And I was like, word. I was like, okay, cool.
I was just passing through this galaxy on my way to yours. So I'll help you out.
I was like, dope. And then, and then she comes in, and I thought it was going to be again, like, here I come to save the day. But she didn't. She kind of got her ass, not handed to her, but like.
I mean, she was dominating him for a minute.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of root for Thanos and his ingenuity a little bit.
He's a little
like,
sucker punchy.
You go, pow.
And yeah.
Like, all right, Thanos, I see you got some moves.
Yeah, he sucked that power stone out and punched her right in the face. So before we talk about something major in this movie, did you, when Spider-Man hands her the gauntlet,
and I thought she's
like,
going to
get there. I thought, well, first of all, she's just going to blast her way there and like big whoopity whoop. Yeah. But then they had this, I know I'm a dude or whatever, but the girl power moment for me was a little much, like just a teeny bit. I loved it. Like I want to come out and say that I loved it.
But people are going to bitch about that.
But the fact that it was heavy handed, and the fact that it was literally every single female that has any sort of significance in this film franchise, they were the only ones there protecting it. Yeah. Like how Spider-Man is right there next to her, and he's not part of this like last charge. It's like. Yeah. Yeah, and all the women just magically show up at once. Like, it's just a little bit much. Like, I loved the visualization of it.
They're doing something very obvious.
But it was very obvious.
It was a little too
very
little
obvious.
Too obvious, yeah.
But, I mean, it was.
But it looked awesome.
It did look way cool. Dope.
And then there's still this part of you that's like, go, girl. You know, and
right.
Like, this is like women power type of thing that we all. I mean,
but the fact that they did that,
I cheer for that. Yeah,
they shouldn't have to do that. I guess that's my major complaint with it. They shouldn't have to be like, look at all the women, like, and because they had to do that,
they do.
It's like
to do
calling
that.
Out that they're going like, look at all the women, and like, I don't know how you get around it. I guess is like what I'm trying to get at.
I mean, I don't know. Without putting that scene in there, or that little bit in there, I don't know how you. Kind of acknowledge strong women like in a moment.
When you have a moment where it's like all the dudes together, we don't question that.
That's true.
That is true.
No,
it's
that
absolutely true.
But when it's all the women, we do question it. And that's because of the perspective of our society and that
true.
And the perspective that we have as men.
Well, it's not that we question it. It's just super obvious.
It's super obvious.
But we don't think about it. Yeah.
Question is the wrong word.
Right, right,
we
right.
notice it more.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We don't notice it when all the dudes
and
are
I'll
together.
I'll tell you what I noticed much in the same vein, he hands the shield to Sam and not Bucky.
Right. Yep, because everyone thought that Bucky was going to be because he's
historically
he turns into Captain America.
I mean, they both have
right.
I figured, oh, Bucky will get it first, and then something will happen to him.
So that was like a little.
I thought they were playing 4D chess. Like Bucky's going to get it, he'll die or something, whatever,
right.
and then Sam's going to get it.
So that was a little departure then from the comic, then?
Yeah, it was.
I mean, okay. a little bit because the next Captain America historically comic book wise is Bucky.
Okay, yeah.
But the fact that he handed the black dude, I was like, word. Yeah.
But I felt like they're doing that on purpose because they don't want it to be like he could give it to Sam, but he's giving it to this white guy.
Well, and then the white guy is standing in the corner way. Like, it's okay, black guy. I approve. He's like nodding in the corner.
I'm still the Winter Soldier. And I got this arm. Have you seen this arm? It's badass.
Much like with the girl moment, I noticed that. And I'm like, they have
right.
to do that.
They did it on purpose.
They
right.
have to do that. I get it.
I didn't think that was as heavy-handed. Like,
it wasn't because they had the two of them.
They had a relationship.
Yeah. A good relationship.
Yeah.
So it didn't have to hand it at all.
So it made sense to me.
So Hulk is legit. We love the Hulk. We kind of touched base on that.
I still thought that I was
so
expecting, like, because
so
remember,
in
like, in the last one, you're like, where's Hulk? Like, where's Hulk? Where's Hulk? You wanted Hulk to come up. And he comes in and battle in the first one, and he battles Thanos for a second.
And gets his ass handed to him.
And so you expect it. I expected at least in this one at some point for Hulk to duke it out with Thanos again a little bit more.
Sure.
And that never happened. So
yeah.
So I was like a little bit kind of like, what? Where's Hulk? Why doesn't Hulk come in and fight him? So
what about the Guardians of the Galaxy?
The Asgardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, right. Well, and not only that, but like, well, that's the very end. But like the Nebula thing where like as soon as she started and she like shot the thing from the future, I was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh,
there were so many moments in this film where I've described it where I've said I was on the edge of my seat literally for a good many moments of this movie. And normally I can just watch a movie and be like, okay.
I mean, Lindsay and I were like this.
But there was so many times where I was literally like white knuckling this chair, like on the edge of my, literally on the edge of my seat, like leaning forward, like, oh my God, what the fuck is going to happen next? Yeah. Like, what is happening right now? And like that moment when Thanos finds out that like, oh, I've done it.
I've succeeded.
I'm inevitable. I've done this. Sweet. That means I can do it again. Hey, scan every memory she has. I was like, oh no, he's gonna fucking find out.
That was so good.
Yeah, that was so good. Like that was just like I remember thinking too. Like, God, that's smart. That's smart. And I was storytelling.
I was wondering if they were gonna play it through where he saw himself get beheaded. And he's like, yeah, that's the price.
Yeah.
And he was like, totally cool. Yep. And I'm like, I gotta give it to you, man. Like, you got conviction.
Yeah. And the way that they handled the two Nebulas with, like, the double cross and Gamora. And, like, I was kind of pissed that she just kind of bailed at the end. I'm like, what the fuck? But I guess that's what Guardian 3's got to be about. So, you never know. But
when did she bail or did she get dusted, though?
No, she didn't get dusted. At the end?
We didn't
see it. Well, why would she get dusted? She's not fighting for him.
Because Tony thinks dust Thanos people.
But she's not fighting for him at that point. She's already turned.
Tony doesn't know that.
Yeah, but the universe knows that. it's in their heart of hearts.
It's
they
about
know
the
who's
will of
who.
The gauntlet holder, man.
I don't know about that.
Maybe.
Interesting.
I just feel like she's going to be out and about. Because when like he reunites, when Quill reunites with her and she like punches him, who the fuck are you? Get off of me. Yeah. He's like, oh, right. You're the weird Gamora that's evil still.
So, like, fucking Asgardians of the Galaxy is so funny to me. Like, that, and the idea.
We all know who's in charge.
Right? Yes, we do.
It's me, right? That whole. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Of course. You're in charge.
Their chemistry is fantastic. Yeah. Like, it's fantastic. And so, even just the concept and idea of a Thor with the Guardians of the Galaxy doing a story with them is giddy. That makes me so happy.
He's got, he's got better comedic chops than any of the rest of them. Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, yeah.
He's good. He's super good.
Comic timing.
I mean, Chris.
Great comic timing.
I would say even better than Pratt.
Yeah.
So many
even
freaking
Chris's.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, all the
You
Chris's.
Really?
Absolutely.
I don't know. I think that, well, they definitely, those are probably the two funniest Chris's.
Well, yeah.
The Chris's, but they're too funny. No, they're probably the two funniest, like, characters.
Yeah.
Like, probably. I mean, Iron Man's funny in his way.
Sarcastic. Asshole way.
Yeah, right. Everyone has their own little
way. Well, but those two are funny.
I want to talk about Ant-Man in just a second, but going back to the beginning of the film, I loved. They said shit a lot, which is cool. But anyway, I loved when they're like, what do we do now? And Cap is the one that goes, let's get this son of a bitch. I was like, yes! But in the back of my head, I was like, language. Like calling back to language. Ultron.
Right.
And I was like, you kiss your mother with that mouth type stuff when they were giving him shit.
Right.
And I was like, because he said damn, I think, in that movie. But he said son of a bitch. And I was like, yeah! But at the same time, because they've built it up so well, like, I myself was like, language, Cap, come on, man. Like,
right.
The shower thought I had after I saw the movie, after I was just like, how many realities did Doctor Strange watch where the rat hits the wrong combination of buttons and Ant-Man doesn't get freed? So
right.
A rat saved the universe, guys.
Yep.
So now, in Doctor Strange,
they got lucky.
Like, vast, experiencing different realities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one.
Yeah.
That, the one.
That happens.
The one.
So when he asks
14
him,
million.
Yeah. So there's is one this the one?
I can't tell you because then it won't happen.
Right. Yeah.
But then he does tell him. I don't know if you noticed that little. Like, I mean, it wasn't super subtle, but he's like
really
controlling
obvious.
Everything, and then he like puts it down. One. Like, this is the one.
This is the moment.
Right.
This is your moment.
You got to do it now or never. So Ant-Man.
I thought he was pointing up at something.
I was like, you're joking, right? What? You're joking. Ant-Man, I loved this movie a lot.
I loved him. I've loved him in everything.
Yes.
Paul Rudd is a national treasure.
When he showed up and he's like, guys, I'm Ant-Man. I don't know if the whatever. And like just him showing up and like tripping out. And like even his reunion with his daughter 5 years later, I was like, oh, shit, dude. Like,
so somebody.
And he doesn't know what's happening. Like
one of her coworkers asked, do I have to watch the Ant-Man movies before this to like be invested? And originally Lindsay said no.
Right.
But after he saw it, she goes,
to be invested?
Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, you
to
should.
To be invested? Yes.
Yeah, maybe you should.
Because you realize
you know, I still have not finished.
He's got some big moments.
The Wasp?
Doctor Strange.
Oh, what?
Yeah. I still just never.
Of the movies that are missable before this, that's yeah, probably that's pretty high on the list.
I started it at least five times.
But I do so love the bad. Scene. I do love that we got to see like what the Ancient One was up to during the Battle of New York. Like she
right.
was, they're fucking protecting the Sanctum.
Yep.
And like Hulk shows up and they have a conversation. They don't fight. They have a conversation
right.
to solve the problem.
That's Strange gave like, it
what?
Up.
And she goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. He did what?
He gave it away.
Okay, yeah. Here you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was dope.
That's cool.
She's like, dope. He's the best of us, and he gave it away? Yeah. That means I was wrong. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Good on That's you cool. for realizing what's up with you.
Real cool.
So Ant-Man.
Yeah, I gotta go see it again.
I loved when Ant-Man, like, showed up. Okay, so first of all, they, like, unsnap with Hulk putting on the thing, and he unsnaps it, and I was like, dope.
Yeah.
And then
Ooh.
And then you're like, did it work? Did it work? And they're all like, ring, 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 and Hawkeye gets the phone, it's wife.
It's his wife
and then Ant-Man sees all the birds, and he's which answers the question, like, did all the animals get snapped too? Yes.
Yeah.
but then he sees the birds, and he's like, guys, I think we... And then gets blown to smithereens. I was like, what? Like, that was another one of those on the edge of my seat, grab my chair, like, what the fuck moments of this movie where it's like, oh, shit, dude, Thanos is there. He zapped himself through there, and now he's blowing the Avengers to smithereens again. He's beating them again.
And he did not play with that opening salvo either. He leveled like, that he place. Just
tore the Avengers compound to the ground. Yeah. And everyone miraculously survived.
I was going to say it's a little miraculous. a little bit miraculous. Yeah. Like, or like
well, all of them are explained away except for Hawkeye, who's just a dude.
Yeah.
Like, everyone else, like, in, like, War Machine's in the suit, and Hulk's the Hulk, and Ant-Man goes tiny, and, like, everyone's Rocket's explainable. But, like, yeah. Hawkeye, you're just a dude, and you survived the thing
I'm
crumbling on top
dude.
Of you. Right.
But
I loved when they're Hawkeye? Almost drowning, and Ant-Man's like, I'm coming! And then he turns himself big, and then he punches that freaking like big giant alien Boom. Snake
right
from, like you see from Avengers. He's like bam. I'm like what?
That was cool. That was really cool.
I did think it was a little weird how they made New York look like a strange alien planet.
I don't know what you mean,
because that's where they were at the end of the big major fight at the end is taking place on the grounds of the Avengers compound.
Yeah, it's like
But it's like all apocalyptic and gray and like there's nothing around. It looks like a desolate planet. And like I understand that this compound just got blown to smithereens, but it looked a little too desolate
Fair
to
enough.
Be New York. I think anyway.
This movie sucked. I mean
I've heard New York is kind of a hole, so
who else is there before we talk about Iron Man?
I want to talk about some of like the great shots in this movie.
Please
like,
do.
Beautiful moment. Like the most beautiful like scenes, and one of the top ones for me, there's a few top ones. One of the top ones for me was Captain Marvel flying down through Thanos' ship.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And I said it. I said, fuck your ship. Blows it the fuck up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, that is so cool. But the scene with like Captain America versus Thanos' entire army, and then like all the rings start to open, I'm like, that's beautiful. That is so cool to look
on that that moment too. So I am so glad that they chose to bring the callback of I can do this all day when he was fighting himself.
Yeah.
Instead of right there. Because like that moment is so heavy and like crazy, and he's gotten his shield broken, he's beat down as shit, and like he doesn't need to say it.
You were expecting it.
Because him standing up and you're like,
it says enough.
We all know you can do this all day. So the fact that they already made it. Joke
in that
about
moment,
it.
There's a callback in that moment. Sam says, on your left.
Yeah. Yep.
Which he said in Winter Soldier when
he passed him over and over and over and over again. Right.
There were a couple really good callbacks in this movie, actually, that you could easily miss. Like when the Wasp says Cap.
Oh,
she calls him Cap.
Yep.
And they share a little look.
You can call him, call him Cap.
Ant-Man and the Wasp. She says, Cap, his name is Cap. Oh, are you guys like
I've seen that one.
Now?
No, I've seen that one. Yeah.
Yeah, we call him Cap.
Yeah, we call him Cap, you know.
Yeah, dude. So, no, that shot when, like, he's like, whew, and he, like, straps the shield on. He's like, his busted ass shield. He's like, let's do this. And then, like, everything opens up. And I'm like, word. And then every single motherfucker comes out of those portals.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch
this. So epic, dude. It is so epic when everyone comes out. And they give them all, like, their 5 seconds of, like, here's your pose.
You get to see everyone.
Get a pose. I hope you have a pose ready.
They all look fucking red.
Oh, dude, they all look so good. Oh, man. So, elephant in the room. Tony Stark bites it. And I cried for like 20 minutes, dude.
I cried.
Like, a lot. I wasn't like,
cried a little
like
bit
audibly, but
that.
My tear ducts were pumping the whole time.
I guess because I expected it. And I don't know if I heard it,
no, I expected
you know,
it.
But, and also I just, I guess because I also heard like Robert Downey Jr.'s done, you know, and so he's done doing these movies. So this is going to be the last one for him. So I wasn't, it didn't hit me as hard, as like Cap's alternate life that he lived. Like to me, that was just so beautiful to me.
Dude, it hit me so hard. So hard.
Yeah.
So. I know that Tony Stark and Peter Parker don't have that big of a relationship. They kind of do, but like it's we haven't seen it. We feel it through the magic of the movies.
Yeah.
But the fact that when he's there, and first of all, when he fucking says, "I am Iron Man," snap! I'm like, dope.
Yeah.
But like dope.
Yeah.
Like he's so fucking good. But then as he's sitting there dying, the people that are there are Rhodey, Peter Parker, and Pepper Potts.
Yep.
Speaking of Pepper Potts, badass, she shows up in the iron suit. I'm like, fuck yeah. He's like, and they call back to it earlier in the movie when the daughter has it, and he's like, she never wears the things I get her. And then she shows up in the suit. Dope.
Yeah, that was awesome.
But when, as soon as like Peter is like, it's okay, like we're here. You say you did it, man. You did it. Like you did it. You did it. And then he calls him Tony. I was like, dude, he called him Tony. Like that's when it like started welling up, and I was like, I'm okay. I can make it through this. It's fine.
Now
it's
that
fine.
Was all. Yeah, that was all very touching.
But then it's Rhodey, and Rhodey's like, it's all good, man. It's all good. And then Pepper like gives him the kiss and says, it's okay.
You can rest.
You can rest now. I'm like, God, boom, tears, 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 tears. And then the whole funeral and all the shit. And then I'm finally like, I finally like wipe the last tear away. I'm like, okay, whew, I'm good. And then there's the scene with Scarlet Witch and Hawkeye, and he's like, yeah, it sucks she's gone. And she's like, I hope she knows. And then Scarlet Witch goes, they both know. I'm like, God, it's okay. It's okay. It's not as bad as Tony, but that one's pretty rough. And then immediately after that is happy with the daughter. And he's like, what do you want? You want some food? He's like, I want cheeseburgers.
That was unnecessary.
He's like, I want cheeseburgers. And then he goes, your dad like cheeseburgers. Boom! Tears again! Like
I'll mad get you all the cheeseburgers
tears.
That you want.
I'll get you all the cheeseburgers you want. I'm like, fuck, dude! Like, Jesus Christ, give me a break. I need a second to breathe here.
Yeah.
God,
that was good.
Dang,
and that's what,
dude.
Like, a lot of folks have been saying about the movies. Like, if you've been following along on this ride for the last 11 years or however long, and all these different storylines, and all these characters, it's very satisfying end.
It's
super
so
duper satisfying. Absolutely. And so kudos, like fucking kudos.
I just can't even imagine
for them
like,
to like be able to wrap it up in a way that makes everybody, as far as I've not heard anybody who's been like, nah.
Samantha said, fuck this movie, quote unquote. But that's because she loves not only Iron Man, but Robert Downey. Like, loves.
Oh, so she didn't like the idea that.
So she just didn't like that he's dead.
Right. But for.
Because she watches them for his part, and, like, she loves his character. She loves her favorite relationship is him and Pepper.
Yeah.
Like, she loves that love story, quote unquote, of all the love stories in the movie.
So him dying was like, meh, don't do that.
She just hated it, right?
Right, yeah, right.
But, I mean, she cried as much as I did, and she doesn't cry at movies, but because she's so invested in Robert Downey and Tony Stark, like it hit her hard. And so that's why she's like, fuck this shit. Like, you're not supposed to make me feel, I don't feel things, but it did. Like it hit her hard. Cause they did it so well.
I know I've probably said it more than once on this podcast, but I'm an easy get as an audience member. I'm a real easy get.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's any sort of emotion, if there's danger, if there's loss, if there's love and all that stuff, like I'm there for it. Like I'm there for it. So for this movie, I got literally choked up at the end and I coughed for like a good minute straight.
Yeah, man.
I was like choking back.
It was rough.
It was tough. It was real tough for me.
That's cool. I was just letting it fly. I was like letting it fly. I was like, oh yeah, you know, just sitting there, just wallowing in it and like enjoying it and like that was a good ride, you know, and
there's many moments of it, like Thor and his mom, and she's like, it's cool.
Yeah.
Don't tell me. He's like, but today he's like, she's like, it's okay.
It's okay. I know I'm living my future.
I know.
I'm living my life. And yeah,
you go live yours.
God, it's so good. Yeah. I almost thought that Jane Foster was going to show up for a second, but she didn't.
She did.
Well, she was in the movie, but I thought they were going to have some sort of interaction or something. But
oh, so I don't know if you looked it up or not. And maybe you thought this at Tony Stark's funeral.
Yeah.
There's the one dude who you're like, who's that guy?
Oh, no, oh, the kid from Iron Man 3.
Yeah, you didn't know that. You knew that at the beginning. No,
I did know that.
You liar! That. Yeah, you did not.
Well, I'm watching. I'm like, who's that random teenager? Oh, it's probably the kid from Iron Man 3.
That is more accurate.
That's it's not what I did. Kid, right? I didn't get it.
Yeah, was I 100% sure during the movie? No, because they didn't say that.
Right,
and of course it's.
I was like, logically, who else would that?
Is
be?
It the same? Right. The same actor? Probably. It might be the same.
I believe it's the same guy.
Yeah, which would make sense.
I really don't know, but probably.
But I didn't put it together, and I was like, and I thought that was like a little Easter egg for something in the future. Mm-hmm. Which is still maybe, you never know. They could take
Iron Lad.
Yeah, they could. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, the fact that like the last person they show is Nick Fury, I'm like, word, dope.
He's like, I started all this.
He didn't even have a line, did he? He just
nope. He was just there.
His image.
No, that funeral scene, man. Like, it just hit from like moment to moment to moment where I was like, I think I'm good, and then tears again. Like when they put the little thing that says proof Tony Stark has a heart. I was like, fuck, why'd you put that on the thing? Yeah. Dang it. Like, why? Tears. Like, it was very, very well done. And I felt like we were talking about fan service in the Game of Thrones. Like, this is 100% fan service, but none of it feels like fan service. It feels like this is exactly what needed to happen.
Yeah, it's story serving a story. Yeah,
that's where it's different. Like, if it fits well into the story. On its own, even if it didn't serve the fans, you're like, yeah, that works.
Yeah, it was dope.
Dude. Yeah, yeah.
Is there any characters we didn't talk about that we should have? I mean, it was cool to see Valkyrie come back. Like, it was like at the beginning, it was cool to see Black Panther doing it, dude. And like, I love the fact that like when it's like go time, they put him in the front lines. Like. And he's like
the only one who's an actual leader,
and he gets the chant going. And everyone's in it, and like boom, it's like fuck yeah, dude! Yeah,
that is cool.
It's so inspiring. Yeah. It's like so epic, dude. And he just goes for it, and like and the whole keep away with the gauntlet at the end was kind of cutesy, but at the same time, it was like, oh shit, dude, what the fuck is gonna happen with the gauntlet?
I love that because that's like. Peak comic book shit right there. That's the shit that happens in a fucking comic
give it to
book.
Him toss it up in the air and she grabs it and then over there and then he gets it and Spider-Man comes through and swings and grabs it yoink. Like yeah dude
and he chucks the hammer and Spider-Man grabs the hammer and flies along with
right
him.
Like heads up
wow like I can see that drawn
there's a lot of those imagers
that works.
It's so funny when the first Hulk came out for about 20 minutes into the first Hulk it was like ooh, this is very like true to the comic, you know, and like images from
the Eric Bana one or the Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton.
No, the first one.
Okay. Eric Bana one, and then they even like used panels, I think, for a moment.
Yeah, a lot of the cutaways were.
But I remember like the origin of Marvel Comics, the book that I had, and the Hulk was one of them.
Right.
Some of those were images straight from that, which is I think is always really cool.
Yeah.
But. Fuck, I forgot what I was saying. Anyway. It's too much coolness.
Yeah.
Too much greatness.
Just the imagery of the movie and like them like
just true comic book trueness, I guess. Like, true to the comics.
I felt like I wasn't sure how they were going to put everyone in the movie. Like when the unsnapping happened or whatever, I was like, okay, we're about to get like 50
how are we
characters
getting everybody back?
Like, in one fight. Yeah. And they called back to the Whedon shot of like where they're fighting for New York in the first Avengers, and it like shot. You see like, oh, we're gonna follow the camera in this one quote unquote motion. It's all CG, but you're like, here we are following Captain America punching somebody, and then like he's gonna get knocked down, and the camera's gonna keep moving, and then here comes Iron Man flying through the frame, and then like it's gonna cut away from him, and you're gonna watch Hulk smashing somebody, and then it's gonna Hawkeye's gonna shoot an arrow, and you're gonna follow the arrow, like that whole like follow shot.
Right.
But they did that at the battle here, only it was like 50 character deep, like. Just like went from person to person to person.
Everybody's got to do something.
And they're all just like kicking some serious ass.
Yeah. So I got to go see this week
again. I know I got to see it again for sure.
Like probably $5 at Hazard Center on Tuesdays.
Oh, man.
Oh, Tuesday, huh?
$8.50 right across the way at Grossland Center.
$5.
Yeah. $5.
And they have a happy hour.
$5 make you holla.
So I guess what we're saying is go see this film. If you haven't,
enjoyable.
It's very, I don't know why you'd still be listening if you haven't.
Yeah.
Right. But it is so. Very.
If you're one of the people who wanted to skip to the end, we'll say there's no more spoilers at this point.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
No more spoilers then.
And it's funny too, because so many people were holding their bladder for so long. They're like, I can't, including me.
You're talking about the post credits thing?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
But someone was saying that, like,
the
actually, there was like a.
Beautiful.
There was like a.
Where they gave everyone their moment.
The sound of him making the first Iron Man suit.
Yeah, it was like a.
That's all it is.
It was just like bringing it back to the very
beginning. Right.
Which I thought was cool.
That is cool. That's really cool.
But there's no foreshadowing to the future.
Yeah, because what are you going to do? There's nothing else to tell.
Right.
Nope. So that's cool. That's cool.
But like you said, the payoff in the credits where they give everyone their little like silhouettes and their off. Sign their name.
That was really nice.
Dope.
Really nice.
Beautiful.
Dude. Dope.
Yep.
People were cheering every time. And it's the fucking credits. Nothing else is happening.
People cheered for every
time. And every time they showed up and I'm like, well, I get in here in the movie theater. I guess it's kind of dumb. No one can hear you, but
It's really cool.
It was
it's so
no matter
cool.
How,
that, like,
no matter how into something I am, and this is probably the thing I've been into the most that I've seen in a theater in a very long time. I'm not a clap.
I don't clap at the end ever. And so when people were clapping.
Dude, I was clapping. I was like, fuck yeah. That was great. And everybody was applauding. Yeah.
Like if I was at the 22 marathon,
right.
fucking Kevin Feige or Chris Hemsworth was in the room with me.
Word.
I would clap.
Good on you guys.
Good job, guys.
Yeah, the director and the music person, for sure.
That's what the clapping is for. The clapping is for them. Like, they can't hear me.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
I get what
I'm saying. And the crowd mentality of, like, we're all in this together. And
everybody, it's almost like for everybody there. Right, guys? Right? Wasn't this great? Yes, it was.
It was so good.
Let's applaud.
It was so good. There was a few moments where I was like, this is kind of depressing.
Last night. So
this is kind
of
rough.
Calling all the way back to the beginning of the episode where somebody said they didn't like it that much. We went out, we met up with one of Lindsay's friends, and he's saying, he's like a PhD, blah, blah, blah. Like the time travel, I was like, you need to stop right there.
Save it.
Stop it right there. And then he said, well, I really like Venom, though. I'm like, well, your opinion is completely invalid on everything.
Like,
now.
Get out of here.
I said, get out of this. I did. Yeah. I said, get out of this spot.
Yeah, get out.
You're just wrong. I don't even believe that you know anything about your PhD now. Like, you are full of shit. And I said, that movie is fiery hot garbage. I watched that on an airplane and I wanted to walk out.
It was so good. This movie's so good.
Yeah, this movie's awesome.
Yep. Agreed.
And it's so beautiful in the way they handle everything. Awesome. And America's ass is gorgeous.
America's ass.
That is America's ass.
That was such a good joke, dude.
This a lot of good.
The suit does nothing for your ass, Cap.
Yeah, a lot of good laughs.
That's America's ass, man.
Yeah,
it is America's ass. Oh man, there's so many.
He steps over himself.
So many good comedic moments too, and I don't feel like any of them. Maybe like one or two. I couldn't name them, but I feel like there was one or two that I was like, "Eh, you didn't need that joke right there."
There weren't any. So the one that bugged me the most in Infinity War was the Drax joke. Like, I'm Gamora and Star-Lord having, like, a really
so
powerful moment.
Right now, you can't see me.
They're having a really powerful moment, and you're, like, feeling the weight of it. And it's like, let's break this with a joke. And I'm like,
I'm
on.
Eating chips.
I have to do that right
invisible.
There.
Right.
And there weren't, I don't think there were any in this movie where I felt that way.
Right.
Because they did it. They broke tension with jokes a few times in this movie. But
it was at the right
felt,
time, I felt like.
None of them felt, inorganic or bad or anything to me.
So, anyway, what were your guys' thoughts on the movie? Let us know. Send us a voicemail, an email, what have you. Comment on
Carrier
Facebook.
Pigeon.
Anything. And I can't wait to see it again. And I don't know what I'm going to do with my life now.
Now we're going to really explore television and movies now.
12 years of my life.
There's still Spider-Man Far From Home.
I know. Which is technically the end of phase four? Three? What phase are we in? Three?
Four.
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 It's Spider-Man Far From Home is technically the end of this phase, not that movie we just watched, and which is the only stupidest movie thing I've ever
heard. That is dumb, but whatever. I'll forgive them.
The only movie that we know is happening after that is Guardians of the Galaxy
3. And Black Panther 2.
Oh.
Well, they announced it. I don't think they started it, but I know that there is a Black Panther 2.
When did they announce that?
A while back.
I don't know. Huh. Well, that'll give us something to talk about.
Yeah. So anyway, let us know your thoughts. Thanks for listening to this long-winded episode of it, but we had to gush because like we've been all building up for this for like 11 years.
For sure.
So. I watched these things back to back, so I am emotionally drained.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And check out our episode on Thursday with Allie and Jeff checking out the 22 movie marathon.
Spoiler alert, we didn't announce who it was.
Oh,
now
my bad.
But yeah, check us out on Thursday. You'll hear all about their experience at the
some unknown humans. Right. You didn't hear about
this. But for now, let's get out of my garage because I got to publish this thing.
Yep.
Thanks out there for listening. You guys are awesome. And let's get out of here. This has been Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
I'm Rich.
And we'll see you on the couch. Nope.
Life's a Binge. Bow, 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 bow.
Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
What could I do? Okay, all right.